Philadelphia's real sports station, ESPN 920, WPHY Trenton. ESPN Radio 920 presents 10 Football. Today's game is brought to you by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNA, Comcast Sportsnet, Commerce Bank, America's most convenient bank, the Hilton Inn at 10 and 10A Restaurant, the Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District, Pepsi, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Qdoba Mexican Grill. What are you going to love at Qdoba? Sprinter, United Healthcare, World Cafe Live, where the music cooks and the food rocks. And Yellow Book USA, not the other book. Now, here's Matt Leon and Hench Murray.
It is an absolutely miserable afternoon in West Philadelphia. It's gone from drizzle to downpour to no rain at all, but football will still be played as the 10 Quakers have the Bucknell Bison trample into town for the final non-conference contest before Penn starts their home stretch of the season and into the Ivy League. Welcome to Franklin Field. I'm Brian Seltzer. This is the Penn pregame show presented by Pepsi. Now for the Quakers, this is the final opportunity for them to iron out all the kinks, get things smooth and set and ready to go before ancient eight action really heats up and they start to make a run at the Ivy League title. For the Bucknell Bison, they bring maybe not the fanfare of a non-league matchup that, let's say, Villanova would have coming in here. However, if there's one thing for sure that we've known over the past couple of years, this matchup is never easy for the red and blue. It is always close. It is always tight. And Matt Leon and Hench Murray, that means we should be in for a lot of excitement this afternoon.
Yeah, in the couple of years that I've been doing this, the 10 Bucknell game, and you hate to be a stereotypical, but you can really throw the records out because when these two teams match up, weird things happen. The games are close. 2 years ago, it was a one-point contest here. Last year was double overtime in Lewisburg, and on paper, Hench, the Quakers, I think, are a much more talented team, but the last couple of years, it has been a struggle.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't know why, whether Bucknell just plays really well against Penn or Penn plays a little flat because it's a non-league opponent, but they certainly came through what they did last week against Dartmouth, which is really kind of the inconsistent offensively. Defense played terrific, but on home turf here at Franklin Field, rotten conditions, would much rather be home, and I think the coaches have their work cut out for them again today to get these kids ready to play.
Absolutely. We'll be facing that Bucknell spread option, that flex zone option, and it'll be with a new wrinkle, and we'll talk about this more in the pregame and throughout the broadcast today, Hench, but Dante Ross, their fine kick returner and cornerback, hey, what the heck? Let's put him at quarterback, put him in shotgun, and see what happens. And all he did last week was rush for 268 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah, and had an interception for his trouble, and this guy's a one-man band.
So we're going to keep an eye on him, and we'll be talking more about that as the pregame show rolls on. Brian, back to you.
Matt and Hench, thanks a lot. We're about half an hour from kickoff between the Quakers and the Bison coming up here at Franklin Field. And when you take a look at these two teams, perhaps the Bucknell Bison are at their most dangerous right now. They must be extremely confident coming off a crushing against Marist 27-7 victory, and that one win could keep them in the hunt still for their Patriot League title, so obviously the Bison are feeling very good about themselves. On the opposite sideline, Penn dumped Dartmouth last weekend, 26-9, the 17-point margin of victory, the largest posted ever by an up in here. Now we take a look at the program profiles, brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Historic District. For the visiting Bucknell Bison, they are 1-3 overall. They're 1-1 at home, 0-2 on the road. They are 0-1 in the Patriot League. They have a one-win winning streak. They were beaten in their three previous games. They're led by head coach Tim Landis in his third year. He's 14-13 overall. He has not posted a victory against the Quakers. He's 0-2. On the opposite side of the field, the Penn Quakers, they received 75 votes from the Sports Network CSTV poll. That's 47 spots they jumped. However, they're still 172 off the 25th spot. They have three votes going in the USA Today ESPN national poll. That is down 24 from the previous week. Overall, the Quakers 2-1, 1-0 here at home, 1-1 on the road. However, a reminder that one loss did actually come at Franklin Field against Villanova. Technically, that was a road game. Al Bagnoli, his 14th year, 96-35 overall, six Ivy League titles to his credit. He is 6-2 all time against Bucknell. These two teams, the 110th year of their rivalry, the 31st meeting, Penn leads the overall series 25-5. The Quakers have two consecutive wins in a row. The last time they met, a double overtime thriller out at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, a 32-25 victory for the Red and Blue. Coming up on the Penn pregame halftime show presented by Pepsi. We break down the spread option offense. Coach Ray Priori, the defensive coordinator for the Quakers, sits down with me. We talk a little strategy. That's all coming your way next on the Penn pregame show presented by Pepsi. Hosting the Quakers football, home on ESPN Radio 920.
If you want your skin to stay smooth, rosy, and pink, open an Aquafina and drink, drink, drink. If your mind is muddled, but you'd really like to think, lift up your glass and drink, drink, drink. And if you want the physical sense, but need your waistline to shrink, open an Aquafina and drink, drink, drink. And if your body's out of whack, if you'd like to get it in sync, open a bottle, lift up your glass, tilt back your head and drink, drink, drink.
Open a bottle, lift up your glass, tilt back your head and drink, drink, drink.
Drink to your health. Because the more water you drink, the better you feel. So make your body happy. Drink more water. Aquafina.
Hi, I'm Bud Collins.
And I'm Vinny Maggio.
Vinny and I are missionary athletes through the Saints Prison Ministry, America's premier athletic prison ministry.
Yeah, I play on the Saints soccer team, and Bud plays on one of our five softball teams.
Vinny and I both starred in high school and then played our college ball right here at the College of New Jersey.
That's right, Bud. But what I accomplished in college pales in comparison to the feeling I get playing sports for the league.
I couldn't agree more, Vinny. In fact, my 10 years with the Saints have been the highlight of my athletic career. Playing ball in prisons and sharing my faith with inmates is what I really enjoy.
The Saints Prison Ministry fields traveling teams in basketball, softball, and soccer. Since 1987, their teams have played more than 1,500 games in 275 different prisons in 20 states and 2 countries. If you would like to serve as a missionary athlete with the Saints or to volunteer in some other capacity, contact the Saints at 856-866-9428. Or you can visit them at www.saintsprisonministry.org. The Saints Prison Ministry, reaching inmates for Christ through athletics since 1987.
It is teeming here at Franklin Field, about 25 minutes away from the start of Penn and Bucknell, the last non-league game of 2005 for the Quakers before they start their Ivy League season next weekend. Now the red and blue run defense, it has proven to be one of the stingiest in Division I-AA, third in the country, in fact. Now the Big Green last weekend grinded out only 16 yards on the ground, but today it'll be a tougher test for Penn. That number 16 becomes relevant once again because it's in regard to the Bison rushing offense. It's their overall rank in the nation. 55 carries per contest for them. That's thanks to a confounding spread option offense. Why is this formation so frustrating? Well, I had a chance to catch up with Penn defensive coordinator Ray Priori, and we talked about it earlier this week. Of all the possible offensive formations, the spread option is one of the most difficult to contain. Executing it is no easy task, but once mastered, the scheme can make defenses dizzy due to its unpredictability and because few teams devote their entire playbook to it. Penn defensive coordinator Ray Priori has had first-hand experience.
We're in a whole different offensive scheme. So from the start of camp to this past week, we faced two backs, one back passing attack. This week, throw that all out, and because we're now facing an option attack, which all of our rules, all of our blitzes are changed, all of our zone coverage is changed because of the style. So that's the hardest part, is in 3 days, changing everything.
Here's the X's and O's. The quarterback sets up in shotgun with an empty backfield, flanked by four or five receivers. These players then begin to go in motion just before the snap. Once the quarterback has the ball, he surveys his opponent's defensive alignment. That's called a zone read. Based on what he sees, he chooses the option of handing off the ball or holding onto it himself and running. Passes are short and infrequent, and this creates a sense of randomness that will keep Priori and the red and blue be alert.
Guys can't lose focus on who they have because it's a deception offense. Okay? Quarterback has the option to give the ball, keep the ball, we'll pitch it, and if one link of that chain breaks, then we're going to be in trouble. So we just got to make sure everyone does their job and their assignment, and we've got to change because the thing on the option offense is if they see the same look every time, they'll each up. So you're constantly changing who has what, The key thing is to make sure our kids know who they have. It's more mentally who you have and making sure everyone's checking their responsibilities.
Eliminating the tricks with a spread option will take focus and discipline. One factor, though, that favors the Quakers, they've lined up against the formation before.
You know, the nice part of it is we've seen these guys now for 2 years in a row. We have a good sense of what they're doing, how they're trying to attack us, and we have some good schemes in the offseason. We did some research, and once again, hopefully we can do what we did last year, which is just slow them down.
And against that spread option offense, the Penn Quakers the past two seasons against Bucknell, when we go back to 2003, there were 52 carries by the Bison. That went for 224 rushing yards, 4.3 per carry. Last year, a good sign, a big improvement for the Penn defense. 57 carries for the Bison, just 137 total rushing yards this time, 2.4 per carry. So the Quakers will have their hands full with that. It'll be interesting to see how that situation pans out over the course of this afternoon. After this break, a profile coming up with Al Bagnoli as Matt Leon sits down with him. They try to make some sense of Penn's offense and a little bit more on the injury side as well. That's all coming up next on the Penn Pregame Show, presented by Pepsi on ESPN Radio 920.
Your Philadelphia Yellow Book Yellow Pages is packed with buying information, complete Yellow Pages, business white pages, community information, area maps, money-saving coupons, even a restaurant menu section. And the easy-to-read format helps you find whatever you're looking for. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Yellow Pages reach your potential customers at the exact moment they are ready to buy. For more information about promoting your business in the Philadelphia Yellow Book, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW. 1-800-YB-YELLOW. That's 1-800-YB-YELLOW. Yellow Book, not the other book.
Fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesesteaks, a neighborhood tradition located at 38 and Chestnut Street. Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and is also available to cater your next event. For more information, visit the website at www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. That's www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Again, the website is www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn Football.
So tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces. Oh, yeah.
I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, you can get here for a month straight and get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and boom, that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
World Cafe Live is your place for live music and great food in Philadelphia. Located at 3025 Walnut Street, World Cafe Live features an eclectic blend of live music, fine food, and drinks in a smoke-free environment. Open for lunch Monday through Saturday. The World Cafe Live has a new fall menu that is as diverse as its music. Check out upcoming performances by visiting www.worldcafelive.com. Also, World Cafe Live has a special treat for Penn football fans each game day. Before or after any home game, bring your ticket stub in on the day of the game and receive a free appetizer with your meal. World Cafe Live, where the music cooks and the food rocks.
It is a hazy gray Saturday. Not the best weather for football between the Penn Quakers and Bucknell Bison. We're about 20 minutes from the start of this afternoon's game, a non-conference contest for the Quakers, their last of the year. Now, at first glance, when you go back to last weekend, Penn's 26-9 pounding of Dartmouth 7 days ago shouldn't leave too much to the imagination. The box score, though, presents some puzzling numbers. Quakers, they just generated 12 first downs and only 268 yards of total offense. Somewhat baffling to Penn head coach Al Bagnoli. He and Matt Leon tried to make some sense of it earlier this week. Here's the coach's show.
Talking now with Quakers head coach Al Bagnoli as the Quakers get ready to take on the Bison of Bucknell. And Quakers now 2-1, coming off a 26-9 win against Dartmouth up in Hanover, New Hampshire. Looking back at that win, coach, what were the highlights in your opinion?
Played very good defense. We played exceptional special teams. It might have been the best special teams game we've had here in a few years. And we made enough big plays on offense, to capitalize and score a couple touchdowns. But, you know, we look back offensively. We obviously want to get more than 12 first downs. It was the lowest first down total. I think it was the lowest yardage total we've had in a long, long time. So somewhat disappointed. Lots of mental mistakes, some breakdowns. And just was not very well executed. So certainly was not a masterpiece on the offensive side. But it was more than compensated with the kicking game. You know, the stat that I like to use is against Villanova. We were 2-for-4 in the red zone, and they were 4-for-4, and that's the difference in the game. Against Dartmouth, we were 6-for-6 in the red zone, 4 field goals, 2 touchdowns. And though you like to have more touchdowns than what we did, and we were down there, and red zone. So we've got really good special teams performance, really good defensive performance, have to get better in offense.
You mentioned special teams. Derek Zach, 4-for-4 field goal. He's only missed once this year. Play kicking was such a struggle last year. What is he doing that has allowed him to become more consistent this season, or is it an entire unit becoming more consistent?
Well, I mean, I think it's always a three-pronged attack. You know, you need some consistency and dependability from the center. You know, you need a guy that can hold and the kicker's comfortable with, and then obviously you need a talented kicker who can kick under pressure, and I think we have all three. Steven Fisler is the snapper, and Steve's been a 3-year starter for us. Scotty Williams has done a great job, you know, as the new holder this year, replacing Gabe Mirabella, who did it last year. And Derek Zach has worked real hard. He kicked a little bit last year, really has improved over the summer. He's always had a terrific leg. He's got very good mechanics right now, and he's kicking with some confidence right now. And that's a pretty good scenario. But, you know, all three of them have to do their job to give Derek a chance to be successful.
You also get a couple of more punts. Talk about the strategy now on that unit, which has really become a weapon for you on special teams punt blocking.
Yeah, I mean, we've taken a more aggressive approach. You know, in the past, you know, we've taken an approach of more of let's be cautious on fourth down and, you know, get the ball in the hands of the returner, you know, try to get some positive yards and put it back in the offensive hands. And, you know, we just seem to have the skill set, both on offensive and defensive, because we're using both personnel, you know, to get after the kicker. And they have a very good sense of how to block a kick and how to get through gaps and how to set up things, where the block point is. And I have very little fear of roughing or any of those other things because the kids understand the concept of block points pretty well. So we've taken a much more aggressive approach, and consequently we have 4 block kicks in the first 3 games.
Defensively, it's been a unit that's been good all season. Really, statistically, a standout on Saturday. 8 sacks, you hold Dartmouth to 16 yards rushing. What really clicked on Saturday?
Well, you know, we started off with a somewhat conservative approach to the game in the first 2 series. You know, we thought we were going to see some things new that we hadn't seen previously. When they came and ran pretty much the same things that they had shown against New Hampshire and against Colgate, you know, at that point we became much more pressure-orientated, and I think there you see we were able to pressure them both in the run game and the pass game, and you know, we harassed the quarterback, and the whole thing was to get the quarterback not to be comfortable back there. Everything was coming off of play action. Everything was coming off of maximum protection. We were trying to get stunts that gave at least 5 or 6 man pressure because there's only 2-person routes, you know, just so the kid couldn't stand back there for 5 seconds and throw the ball down the field, and I thought we did a nice job at it. And then when they tried to open it up, we came with pressure, and we had too many blitzers, you know, for them to handle.
We'll have more with Quakers head coach Al Bagnoli after this. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Here's important information. Qualified Health now offers a nationwide medical savings program. The program includes access to hospitals, doctors, dentists, even lab work and prescription. All your medical needs are included, even on pre-existing conditions. The program also includes $2,000 accidental excess coverage for the added security you need in today's health environment. You'll receive a primary care provider directory, explanation of program terms and conditions, everything you need to answer your questions, and sign up for this complete medical savings program. The Qualified Health National Medical Savings Program. Value to you and your family.
Get all the information by calling 1-866-355-3649. That's 1-866-355-3649. If you do not have medical coverage, call Qualified Health right now at 1-866-355-3649. That's 1-866-355-3649.
Does your present bank fit your lifestyle? Can you afford your checking account? Are you looking for a good reason to switch? Well, Commerce Bank gives you all the reasons you need. Whether you're looking for a new bank for all of your personal finances or a better bank for your business needs, Commerce is all about convenience. Your convenience. What makes them so special? How about 7-day branch banking with the longest hours around? They're open weeknights till 8 o'clock, and Commerce offers plenty of free services like free personal checking, no-fee ATM, Visa check card, and free online banking. They'll even count your loose coins for free. Commerce has everything you've ever wanted in the bank. If you think Commerce is too good to be true, check it out for yourself. Stop by any of their convenient locations. For more information, call 1-888-751-9000 or connect to CommerceOnline.com. The number again is 1-888-751-9000 or CommerceOnline.com. Welcome to Commerce, America's most convenient bank. Member FDIC. Free checking for the first year, then $100 minimum balance.
Back on the pregame show, talking with Quakers head coach Al Bagnoli this week. It's Bucknell. And let's start, I know they've added a wrinkle, but on its face, at its basics, the spread option offense, what is it?
Well, it's a triple option attack using lots of different formations with usually one back in the backfield, two slot players. One usually goes in motion. And it causes some schematic problems because, you know, within three practice days, you have to, shift gears and get away from everything you've been doing in the first 35 practices. And, you know, the idea of pursuing and game tackling are out the window because you have to be so assignment conscious and you have to declare someone to be a dive person, you know, handles the fullback, someone to be a quarterback person who handles the quarterback, and someone who's responsible if the ball gets pitched. So it becomes very assignment conscious. And obviously a little bit of the aggressiveness gets taken out of your game plan.
And then Bucknell has added a wrinkle as far as the quarterback position. They put quite an athlete back there in Dante Ross.
Yeah, they he's always been a dynamic defensive back, punt returner, kickoff returner. Very elusive, very fast, very quick. And coming off of a bye week, they had 2 weeks to install a package for him before the Mariners game. And if you see him, you know, he looks like a mini Michael Vick back there. They get him in a shotgun most of the time, snap him the ball, and they're actually running the old single wing plays where the running back leads him through, the slot back leads him through, and they're running counter with him, they're running ISO with him. And the impressive thing is not just the yardage totals, but his durability factor for a kid who's only 5'8 and 165 pounds is pretty impressive. Last week, you know, he carried it over 30 times. He played defense and had an interception. He was still the punt returner. He was still the kickoff returner and probably accounted for 95% of the total yards in that game. So he probably played 100 plays or close to it.
Passing the ball is something Bucknell does not do a lot of, only 12 complete passes. Talk a little bit about, in a game like this, how does the role of defensive backs change from an average game where they're so concerned with pass coverage? What are their focuses this week?
Yeah, I mean, it tests your perimeter, you know, because your perimeter obviously has been so pass conscious and it's pass first, run second, and now you have to shift gears and now really get them involved in the run game. And one of the things that I think Bucknell and all the spread option teams do a good job of is they don't throw it a lot, but when they do throw it, it's usually vertically up the field and their yards per catch average is impressive. So, you know, you run that high wire rack, you need those perimeter kids to be part of the triple option defense, and at the same time, they got to recognize when it is passed because the ball is going to go vertically. And if you look back at last year's game, they actually threw for more yards against us than they ran, and the pass hurt us on some big plays very much, whether it was coming off the halfback option or the quarterback was throwing the ball.
Talking with Quakers head coach Al Bagnoli, offensively, what do you need to do today?
Well, obviously, we got to get much better productivity than we got last week. It was very disappointing. We had a very bad mental game. We made, you know, 18, 20 mental mistakes, which, you know, we've never done that. So I'm not sure what the reasons were. I don't know if it was the bus ride or the emotional letdown after Villanova or a combination of all of the above. I'm not sure. But we have to execute much better, much more consistency. You know, I think I find it hard to believe when we get 480 yards against Villanova and we get 240 yards against Dartmouth. You know, there's just way too much inconsistency there. So, you know, hopefully we'll get our A game back and, you know, we'll get a little bit better balance. We struggled, you know, to really run the ball. We had no play action to speak of because we really couldn't run the ball well. So we've got to get back to the basics and hopefully get back to our A game.
Injuries, how are you health-wise?
We're so-so. Joe Sandberg is iffy for Saturday with a knee strain. J.J. Stanton is iffy for Saturday with a knee strain as well. So those are the two big kids, and you know, everybody's got an assortment of lumps and bumps and bruises coming from, you know, the Dartmouth game, but I think everybody else will play.
And offensively, I know coming in, obviously, the void had to be filled with Dan Castles at wide receiver. You've gotten a lot of production from a lot of guys. It seems like Dan McDonald has turned into a nice big play guy and a guy who really is able to utilize his 6'3 frame very well on vertical plays.
Yeah, we do. We have Danny and we have Billy May, and they're pretty much the same type. Billy's actually a little bit bigger. And they're both basketball players. They're both 6'3", 6'4-ish. They both understand positioning. They both understand going up for the ball. And we've been able to utilize both of them in terms of trying to match up versus defensive backs that historically have been more in the 5'9 range. And, you know, Danny especially is sneaky fast, you know, because they're the big, tall kids, long striders. They don't look like they're moving their feet that fast, but they take up so much ground with each stride that he's been able to run by people. And then when the ball's thrown up in the air, he's been able to go up and get it and outjump people. So, you know, he's turning into a legitimate deep threat for us.
Coach, as always, thanks for the time. Best of luck against the Bison.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
We'll have more after this. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
The Haldeman dealerships have partnered with Community Options to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Haldeman Ford in Hamilton and East Windsor, Haldeman Nissan in Hamilton, and Lawrence Lexus in Lawrenceville are raffling off a brand new 2006 Ford Focus. For each $10 donation, you'll receive a ticket for a chance to win the new 2006 Ford Focus. 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the Red Cross to help those in need. The Haldeman organization and Community Options are determined to distribute 5,000 raffle tickets per $10 donation. This will provide $50,000 to the Red Cross to help the victims of Katrina. The winning ticket for the brand new fuel-efficient 2006 Ford Focus will be drawn around October 31st. To get your raffle tickets, stop by Haldeman Ford on Route 33 in Hamilton or Route 130 in East Windsor, Lawrence Lexus on Business Route 1 North in Lawrenceville, or at Haldeman Nissan on Route 33 in Hamilton. Please do your part to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
The rain has reprieved somewhat now, just a light drizzle on Franklin Field as the Quakers and Bucknell Bison just about ready to go. Around 9 minutes time, we now take a look at the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. This afternoon, like the Quakers, three other Ivy League teams are going up against opponents from the Patriot League, while four of the squads from the Ancient Eight are continuing their competition inside the conference. Now, Princeton, a potential 4-0 start for the first time since 1995. The last year that they won the Ivy League title, that is somewhat in doubt right now. They just started the third quarter. Princeton trailing Colgate 13-3. Now, the Tigers thrashed Columbia last Saturday by a score of 43-3. The Lions still licking their wounds a little bit, looking to get back at it again. In eastern Pennsylvania, it is just a mud bowl out there. 14-7, the Leopards out on top of the Lions. That is late in the third quarter. 2-1 Brown, and they have the league's best offense going up against Fordham. The Bears up on top by 10 in Providence, 24-14. That is deep in the third quarter. Yale and Dartmouth doing business in New Haven at the Yale Bowl. It is now a convincing 13-0 lead for the Bulldogs. Now, there is one more game we should probably be paying attention to, and that is Harvard. The 1AA best 13-game winning streak snapped last weekend by number 11 Lehigh. They are taking on a dangerous Cornell team this weekend. Here is Barry Leonard of the Cornell Football Network.
Hi, Brian. In a game featuring two of the top runners in 1AA football, Cornell looks to end a two-game losing streak today when they host defending Ivy League champ Harvard at Chokehall Field. The Crimson have come in at 2-1 and boast the number 4 rusher in the nation in junior tailback Clifton Dawson, averaging 133 yards per contest. Cornell at 1-2 on the year will counter with its sophomore tailback Luke Sawula, number 6 overall, with 399 yards through three games and the Big Red ground attack overall, accounting for 238 yards per contest. That's 12th best nationally, and will be facing a high-powered Harvard offense, which accounts for 485 total yards per outing, has beaten Cornell four straight times, and is 15-3 in Ivy League road games since the 2000 season.
Barry, thanks a lot for that report. And right now, it is Cornell 20, the Crimson nothing. We're going to pause, step aside for our national anthem. national anthem played by the Penn Marching Band, getting us ready and in our spirits for Bucknell and Penn coming up. And just in case you didn't hear that last score correctly, I'm going to say it again because it sounds oh so good. In the fourth quarter, Cornell 20 over Harvard. They have nothing. That would be the second loss in a row for the Crimson and possibly their first defeat in the Ivy League this season. Now it's time for the injury update, brought to you in part by United Healthcare on the Quaker sideline. Relatively decent news on the good side, J.J. Stanton. He will be back after suffering that sprain last week, so it's good to have him back on the defensive front. The bad news on the offensive side, Joe Sandberg will not play. Still suffering some of the severe setbacks that he experienced against the Dartmouth Big Green last weekend when he was dinged up. That is a knee sprain, so he will not be playing for Penn. Now, Bucknell, it is a completely different story, and the biggest impact their injuries have had has been under center. It has been a carousel of quarterbacks for the Bison. They have had four signal callers so far this season. In the first game of the year against Georgetown, sophomore Terrence Wilson, who was their starter, he broke his jaw. He is out indefinitely. Then freshman Mahdi Woodard, he was the first freshman to start since 1992 for the Bucknell Bison. He had a head injury. He was hit in the noggin and was knocked out of the game in the first half against Stony Brook, and he was out for a while. He may be seeing some time this afternoon. So then that brought in Ryan Ahern to play against Cornell. He started in that game. But then he was relieved by senior Dante Ross, who was a cornerback and a kick returner. However, he can run the option offense pretty well. He scampered for 268 yards and three touchdowns last week, and that is both a Bucknell and Patriot League record for rushing yards and performance from a quarterback. So a lot of questions surrounding Bucknell on the offensive side of the ball. In just about 3.5 minutes, we'll have all the answers. Giving the answers to those questions, Matt Leon and Hence Murray here for the call of the first half.
Thank you very much, Brian. Great job as always. And we are a couple of minutes behind. We are running late here because once TV gets this clutches into any game, nothing's going to run on time. Hence, kicking off right now, but we are a couple of minutes behind. So we will try to carry it through to the kickoff. And this should be a lot of fun here today. It's always interesting to watch a team like Bucknell run a, I hate to use the term gimmick offense, but something that you're not real familiar with seeing. It's an option offense, but it's not just an option offense. Talk a little bit about the specifics of that as far as what we're going to see here today, Hench.
Well, they run the option out of a double slot look, which means they've got a lot of short motion going, a lot of change of direction. They'll run a lot of those counter plays, but basically the bread and butter in that offensive set is the old triple option that used to be in favor about 15 years ago. And the reason it causes a lot of problems is it forces the defense to make decisions about who they're going to assign to tackle various people who may be carrying the football, from the fullback to the quarterback turning up to the pitch man. And what makes it doubly difficult is you often hear when teams play Air Force that runs a similar offense, is you don't get to practice against it. When everybody was running it, it was a different story, Matt. You know, everybody practiced against it. You probably ran it on your own team. So defending it was not quite the problem that it is right now. Now you have a scout team who's got to go through all the series, the fake to the fullback, the down the line. The timing will look nothing like it's going to look today in real time with Bucknell. So that's what's going to have Penn defense having its hands full this afternoon.
Captains are at the middle of the field. That's the big T here at Franklin Field as we prepare for the awarding of the kickoff to see who gets ball first. Official talking to both sides. Penn brings a 3-1 record into this one. Bucknell is 1-3. That victory for them came last week over Merritt, 27-7. And as we talked a little bit about in our tease and Brian focused on in the pregame, that was the game that Dante Ross, I don't want to say took over a quarterback because he will not play under center the entire time, but that was the game that they gave a significant amount of time at quarterback to Dante Ross, and he rushed for 268 yards, three touchdowns, also threw a touchdown pass. Now, granted, no disrespect to Marist, but not nearly the level of defensive competition that they are going to face today here in the Quakers. And Bucknell will receive the football first here. So the Quakers will be kicking off once we get set to get underway, and the rain has picked up even more here, and this is probably about as heavy as it's rained all day.
Yeah, Penn did win the toss and deferred, and I'm sure they wanted to make Bucknell make the choice whether they wanted to take the football on this wet, sloppy afternoon or go on defense. But I think the Penn coaches are probably just as delighted that they're going to have their defense on the field first. And as you said, the rain, anybody in the Delaware Valley, we're not experiencing anything down here any different from what you are. The rain comes and goes. Right now it is really coming down. The lights are on at Franklin Field. And what's going to be most troubling, I was down on the field mat before the game, the wind is swirling. I mean, it is really a mess down there, and trying to control the ball when you're throwing it is going to be an issue for Pat McDermott, trying to kick into the wind, which is coming from the closed end of the stadium to the open end of the stadium. If the wind's at your back, you're going to be in luck. If you're kicking into it, you're going to have some problems.
Speaking of kicking, Bucknell having some kicking issues of their own as far as personnel goes. Phil Zarek, their freshman punter, has mononucleosis. He is not here today. So the player that had been kicking was Ryan Korn. He was a place kicker who moved over to take over the punting duties. He is no longer with the team. So now Ryan Bauer will be doing the place kicking, and the punting for Bucknell will be done by a walk-on named Peter Cotter. So keep that in mind as this game unfolds. As we all know, when you're putting new pieces in on special teams, it can lead to problems.
And Penn has had the better part of the kicking game against virtually every opponent this season, so my guess is they're going to try to give them fits again this afternoon.
Derek Zock will be kicking off. Back deep for Bucknell, number 35, Dante Ross. Keep an eye on him, and we'll be talking about him a lot. And Peter Kaufman. Kaufman to the far side, Ross to the near side. Quakers kicking left to right on your radio dial, and we are just about set to go here at Franklin Field as the 3-1 Quake, 2-1 Quakers kick on the 1-3 Bison, and it's a good high end-over-end kick coming down to Kaufman. At the 4, straight ahead to the 10, 15, 20, out to the 24-yard line before he is low bridge there. The Bucknell will take over 1st and 10 at their own 24-yard line here. Wait and see who starts at quarterback for these Bison. Monty Woodard is listed as the starter. However, as we mentioned, we're going to see a lot of Dante Ross and Brian Ahern, another quarterback who's played this year, is healthy. And we could see him as well. So it's a kind of hot luck under center for the Bison.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before the game whether this weather favors the team that runs the ball or whether it passes the ball. And I think we concluded that it may not have a real bearing either way. But with somebody as slippery as Dante Ross out of that sort of shotgun look carrying the ball, I think he probably has the advantage here against the Penn defense.
There was a penalty against the Quakers off the kickoff. Didn't see what that is, but it's a 5-yard penalty. Moves the football out 1st and 10 at Bucknell 29, and it will be Ross under center, or rather in shotgun at the quarterback position to start things off. Ross, slot man in motion, running option left, and there's flags everywhere as they start to run the option, and we're going to see what this is about, but I would imagine we had a false start or delay a game against the offense.
Our listeners have to also understand that Dante Ross, who's the senior, has had a great career defensively and on special teams for Bucknell. Moving to the offensive side of the ball, he is 5'8". 164 pounds. He's a little guy back there and gets behind that offensive line. He's hard to see. He's very shifty. And no matter what, he's going to be one tired individual after this game.
Absolutely.
He ends up playing both ways.
And they don't take snaps away from him defensively or on kick returns. They have not, at least to this point, limited him in those capacities, even though he is playing a lot of snaps at quarterback and running around a lot. So 1st and 15 after the false start. Bucknell at their own 24. Ross under center this time. Kaufman in motion, and they're going to run option right, and Ross is going to be stood up and dropped back at the 21-yard line. Jim Malizia, another big play. Brad Martinez in there as well. Ross was never able to get that set started. As soon as he took the step, he was hit by Malizia and dropped. It's going to be a loss of 3, and it brings up 2nd and 18.
Well, that's one way to stop him. Don't let him get started. That's exactly what Malizia did right there.
That is Bucknell offense. The option offense was run so well last year by quarterback Darius Wilson. He's graduated, but he was a special talent there, and I think they have a lot of the same kind of characteristics from Dante Ross.
Yeah, I'm glad that kid's gone.
He was something else. Three wide receivers here. Ross in shotgun on 2nd down, 17 at his own 23. Ross is going to take the snap, and he's going to run right up the middle, and he's not going to get much. He's going to get maybe a yard out to the 24-yard line. So that will bring up a situation that you know the Quakers defense loves to put Bucknell in, and that's 3rd and long. They have only completed 12 passes all season, Edge. And this is if you're a defensive coordinator playing Bucknell, you want to see 3rd and long all day.
Yeah, and Penn has had real good success going after the punter. And talking with Coach during the week, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they try it again. Keep in mind that Bucknell does have the wind at its back.
And Dante Ross takes the seat, and now they bring out Monty Woodard, the freshman quarterback here on 3rd and long. Three wide receivers, slot left. Kaufman to the left of Woodard in the backfield. Play action. Woodard back to throw. Under pressure, throws it across the middle. The pass is caught out across the 31-yard line. Daniel Zavara makes his second catch of the season. It's a gain of 8, but it's well short of the first down. And the Quakers force a 3-and-out on this first series for Bucknell, and they should get the football in pretty good field position right after the punt.
They had that dime defense in there, a lot of defense. In fact, they were going to give them that short one over the middle, just as they did. And let's see what they do here in this punting situation.
Cotter back to punt at his own 20. It's Adam Frank standing at his own 33. Peter Cotter takes the snap. Here come the Quakers. They're coming. Cotter gets it away, and it's a solid kick, and Frank is going to take it at his own 28. Straight ahead to the 30, to the 35. He is hit right there at the 35-yard line and dropped, and that is where the Quakers will take over first and 10 at their own 35-yard line.
Well, they did go after it that time, but pretty good job by the punt guys for Bucknell, and a very, very good punt under pressure with lousy conditions. Nevertheless, 35-yard line, not bad field position to start this first drive.
So we'll see what the Quakers offense, very inconsistent last week, can do here on their first series against Bucknell. First and 10, 10 at their own 35. All set eye in the backfield. Sam Matthews, the deep back. Okoro in motion. McDermott under center on first down. Off tackle handoff. Sam Matthews across the 35 out to the 36-yard line. It's a gain of a yard, and then we'll bring up second and 9. Quick look at the starters on offense for the Quakers up front. Don Snyder, Sean Estrada, Greg Williams, Keith Wolewski, and Marco Gerzon. Your wide receivers, Nick Okoro, Dan McDonald. The running back, of course, Sam Matthews. We will not see Joe Sandberg today. He's out with that knee problem. Ryan Kuzinski, the fullback. Tight end is Chris Mizell. And your quarterback, Pat McDermott, completing 60% of his passes this season. 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Second and 9. 10 at their own 36. McDermott under center. 3 wide receivers, slot right. The farm man, Okoro, comes in motion right to left. It's a handoff. Sam Matthews up the middle. Room to run across the 35 out to the 40-yard line. Gain of about 5 on that carry, and that will set the Quakers up in a 3rd down and 5. And these are the first couple plays, hence the Quakers looking like they come out determined to try and run the ball a little better than we saw last week.
Yeah, very inconsistent last week. Couldn't really get anything going, and that's one of the things that was so upsetting to the coach, as you heard and I heard. Only 286 yards total offense. That's not typical of 10 football.
And only 12 first downs, which I thought was even more surprising. 3rd and 5, 10 at their own 40. McDermott in shotgun, wide receiver split. McDermott back to throw, all day to throw. Fires right side, complete. Nick Okoro. Crossing pattern, down to the 46-yard line of Bucknell. The first completion of the day for McDermott. It's a first down, and the Quakers move to 6. Nick Okoro very quietly, while some of the other wide receivers have had the bigger plays, he's been very consistent, hence that's his 9th catch of the season, and he's done a good job kind of taking over maybe that possession role while the other guys stretch the field. So it's 1st and 10 at the Bucknell 47. McDermott under center, all set eye in the backfield, wide receivers split. Okoro in motion right to left. On 1st down, McDermott hands it off to Matthews. Flag come in flying, and I think the Quakers may have moved before the snap of the ball on that one. The play is blown dead, and we'll see what this is all about, but I think the Quakers moved, and they did. So that will be a loss of 5, and it will set the Quakers back into their own territory and make it 1st and 15. I want to remind everyone, at halftime today, we will be talking with former Quakers kicker Tim Mazzetti, who had a good career in the NFL and also scored the first point in the history of the USFL. Now working in real estate out in Kansas City, had the chance to talk to Tim this week, and we'll bring you that at halftime. Stick around. 1st and 10, make it 1st and 15, Quakers at their own 48-yard line. McDermott under center in a 3-wide receiver set. Matthews alone in the backfield to the right of McDermott. McDermott back to throw, has time, fires across the middle, incomplete through the hands of Chris Mizell at the 45-yard line of Bucknell. Thrown a little high and a little behind Mizell. Would have been a tough catch in 2nd and 15.
Yeah, on that right side, they tried to clear out with Nick Okoro going to the flag and dragged Mizell behind him. Ball a little bit thrown behind him and thrown like a bullet. That was going to be a tough ball to catch even on a dry field. Real tough on this wet field.
So 2nd and 15 for the Quakers. Sam Matthews remains the deep back as McDermott works out from under center. The wide receivers are split. It's an all-five formation in the backfield. 2nd and 15, Okoro the motion man. McDermott takes the snap, takes the handoff, gives it to Okoro on the end around, and he's got room to run in the Bucknell territory across the 50, fighting off tacklers down to the 45-yard line of Bucknell. That's a gain of 7, and at the moment that handoff was exchanged, it looked like there was a wall there, but Bucknell did a good job to close it off.
Yeah, I don't know whether Nick got a little tentative on that or not. I really couldn't tell, but it looked like he slowed down a little bit. Had he really sprinted to try to get to the sideline and turn it up, as you said, I think maybe he would have got a little more out of that. But I think they'll settle for seven. They'd really like to settle for a first down here with third and eight.
At the Bucknell 45, McDermott will work out of the gun. Three wide receivers, slot left. McDermott takes the snap. Back to throw. Bucknell shows Blitzbreakers get it. It's a pass down the slot. Max Perry got it inside the 20. Down to the 15-yard line. Matt Perry, the third wide receiver, as we've seen him do so many times this year, just kind of got free, looked like a zone coverage, and he takes the football all the way inside the 20, down to the 15-yard line. It's another third down conversion for Penn. They are in business, first and 10 at the Bucknell 15.
That's the way the pass offense is supposed to work. Good protection, good pattern, good throw.
Kyle Ambrosi now in the ballgame as the deep back. Offset eye in the backfield. McDermott under center. Wide receiver split. Okoro in motion. Play action. McDermott rolling out to his right. He fires towards the end zone. Complete touchdown. Chris Mizell.
Well, we saw it last week. The same play. The bootleg on a great fake by McDermott. Rolling coming to the right side. You know, they cleared it out. Okoro went into the flag, and Mizell was dragging underneath just as he did last week against Dartmouth. And on the dead run, Pat McDermott, really sharp so far today, put it right on his numbers.
Chris Mizell, who hadn't scored a touchdown in his Quakers career before last week, now has two in 2 weeks. Derek Zock out to attempt the extra point out of the hold of Scotty Williams. Zock perfect on extra points this season, 10 for 10. To make it a 7-0 game. Low snap, Scotty Williams can't control it, he's going to have to run. Rolling to the right, pump fake, running towards the end zone, to the goal line, he's in, 2-point conversion, Scotty Williams. Well, early on, it's all Quakers. It was a bad snap from center, Williams did a great job just to catch it. Couldn't get it down in time, had to roll out and run, and he gets 2. 8-0 Quakers, 9:39 to play in your first quarter. You're listening to Quakers football on ESPN Radio 920.
Football, Kathmandu and Trenton gives you the best seat in the house with over 24 TVs, including a monster 12.5-foot screen TV. Kathmandu has the NFL Sunday ticket so you can watch any game you want and any team you want. Enjoy $2 domestic beers and $3 imports. A Sunday of football at Kathmandu with the NFL Sunday ticket and over 24 TVs, including a 12.5-foot screen, $2 for domestics and $3 for import beers. And Kathmandu's Friday happy hour continues. $5 at the door get you the King's Feast with a pasta station, carving station, wing bar, mashed potatoes, and more. This Friday is Philadelphia Funk Authority at 8. Kathmandu, Route 29, Riverfront Park, Trenton. Check them out at KathmanduTrenton.com. That's KathmanduTrenton.com or call 609-393-7300. 609-393-7300. Kathmandu is looking for outgoing, energetic, and beautiful people. Apply within.
8-0 Penn, 9:39 to play in the first quarter. The Quaker offense, inconsistent last week, dominant in its first series here in the rain, hence they looked about as sharp as you could hope.
Yeah, and I think, again, they got an advantage. They won the toss and deferred, went on defense first when Bucknell chose to take the ball. Got decent field position after the punt, holding them 3 and out, and then just put together a nice drive there. A little bit of running in the early going, and then it was the McDermott air show after that. McDermott air show, excuse me.
The Qdoba Mexican Grill scoring summary. Quakers go 65 yards, 7 plays, and 3:03. McDermott to Mizell, 15-yard touchdown strike, and then Scotty Williams takes the bad snap and runs in for the 2-point conversion. So it's 8-0 Quakers. Derek Dock to kick off. It's Kaufman to the far side for Bucknell. Dante Ross to the near side. Both men standing at their own 6-yard line, each on their respective hash marks. Dock surveys the troops, approaches the football, and Derek gets off a good high end over end kick. It's going to come down to Dante Ross at the 5. Straight ahead to the 10. Ross to the 15, out to the 20. Still on his feet across the 20 to the 25-yard line before he is spun down there. And that's where Bucknell will take over first and 10. Brad Martinez in on that tackle for the Quakers. 8-0 Penn here. The first drive goes for six for Penn. Bucknell went 3 and out, and now we'll see what the Bison muster on their second drive. And one thing I'm sure Bucknell does not want is a deficit early on, because when you're running an option, ground-oriented offense, it is not an offense conducive to catching up from big deficits.
Yeah, and so far, of course, it's only 3 snaps. Penn has just been dominant at the line of scrimmage.
So Monty Woodard remains in at quarterback, a freshman. 5 wide receivers. They put the far man in motion left to right. Woodard going to throw, firing on the right side, and it is complete to Dante Ross out in the slot, out across the 25, out to the 29-yard line. So Dante Ross hadn't caught a pass this year, so had to get him that as well. Of course, as we mentioned, plays a lot of quarterback now. Star quarterback, star kick returner, and lined up the wide receiver.
My goodness. Oh, they're just going to obviously try to get the football in his hands one way or the other. That might be a better solution than having him in the shotgun position, because they had the trips look out there, and they dumped that football out, as we've seen so many times, the two lead blockers out there. But great reaction by Brad Martinez to stop it before it really got started.
Now Ross will work at quarterback. He's in shotgun. Four wide receivers, flat to either side. Man in motion left to right. Ross takes the snap, rolling left with a blocker, trying to direct some traffic. The Quakers close, and they get him back at the 28-yard line. Michael Johns, Casey Edgar doing the dirty work there, and Corey Geddon, the defending Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week, also in on that tackle. That'll be a loss of two, and it sets Bucknell up in third and eight. And once again, Hench, you don't want to belabor the point, but a third and long is where you want this offense to be.
Yeah, great adjustment by the Penn defense again on that play coming to the wide side. They put a man in motion, and as they were coming to that side, Brad Martinez got picked off on a blind side, and normally that's enough to open that wide running lane, but the rest of the Quakers reacted very well to get there and stop it for no gain.
So now it's Woodard at quarterback. He's in shotgun, rolling to his left. Has time, floating it back on the right side. He's got a man wide open. It's Kenny Davis at his own 40-yard line, out to the 43-yard line. Kenny Davis, one of the slot backs, makes the catch. Only his second reception of the season. And that is a gain of 16 and a first down for Bucknell.
That's a great call by Bucknell on that third and long. Again, he rolled to his left and threw all the way back to the right side of the field, a play that Villanova had used against Penn successfully.
And one thing I have noticed about Woodard, while he has completed some passes here, and he's not the strongest of arms. He will work under center here on first and 10. Bucknell at their own 44, and he's going to try to run the option left, and the Quakers will have none of it. They drop him right at the line of scrimmage. Scotty Williams, Brad Martinez, Jim Malizia in there for the tackle. No gain on the play, second and 10.
And that time that was that double slot look where the slot backs are lined up tight right outside the tackles, and they started the option coming left. And again, if you've seen it on television with Air Force, the key to stopping it is stopping that up back. The first guy through, if they can jam that hole and not allow him to be a factor punishing you inside, you can shut down that option.
Monty Woodard, the quarterback, is in shotgun. Three wide receivers, slot left. And they're going to pitch it inside to the fullback, to Stefano. A little shovel pass, and he will get nothing and like it. He is drilled right there with Sandoval in on the tackle, and that will bring up a third down and 10. And the Quakers, it's almost like they're in the offensive huddle thus far, Hedges. Every wrinkle Bucknell's thrown at them, they've had an answer for it.
Well, I tell you, Rick smelled that one. Again, an interesting offensive set. He starts out of the, I'm going to almost call that a tailback look. He's not even a quarterback. It's the shotgun, but it's more like the single wing. They start to the right. He's got a pitch man who can go wide, and that little shovel pass comes in underneath. He chose the inside route that time, but bad choice, because Rick Sandoval, as you said, was right there to stop him dead in his tracks.
Penn leading 8-0, 7 minutes to play first quarter. Bucknell has it third and 10 at their own 44, and before we can get this third down play off, the officials stop the clock, and I believe we have a timeout on the field. So while we have a moment here, why don't we go down to our Sprint Turf field reporter. It's Brian Seltzer. For the first time, let's see how Brian's doing. Are you staying dry?
Well, only thanks to the fact that you lent me your umbrella, so I am keeping dry a little bit, but it is coming down hard. One of the things we're seeing so far is the Quakers' ability to stop the Bucknell Bison on the ground. I spoke with Ray Priori early in the week, the defensive coordinator for Penn, and he was talking about how they're just going to try to get the Bison off schedule, attacking more on first down. That creates a second long, third and long situation that we've seen a lot of so far. He said the kids have done a good job with it last year, specifically because of guys like Corey Geddon stepping up, or a younger player last year, but benefiting working alongside Rick Sandoval. He really plays the middle linebacker guard. He's doing a good job. So we'll see if they can keep it up for the rest of the afternoon. Guys, back up to you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
At the record straight, he's borrowing my umbrella.
Mine doesn't work.
And Brian, just in case, don't get the wrong direction in the wind or it's going to blow inside out on you.
So here we go, third and 10 for Bucknell at their own 44-yard line. Quakers leading 8-0. Woodard, the freshman at quarterback, will work out of the gun. Five wide receivers, they bring DeStefano, the wide man, in motion. Woodard back to throw, fires on the right side. It's Dante Ross. He makes the catch to the 39-yard line, but he is going to be dropped for a loss of 6 yards by Brad Martinez, who I think has been in on every defensive play thus far, playing a great first quarter. And that will bring up 4th and 14, and Bucknell will be forced to kick.
Boy, great reaction by Martinez, as you said. Matt, he saw that quick little screen, that wide screen coming, and he just shed one block and got there just as Roth got his hands on the football. That's the way to play defense.
So Peter Cotter in the punt for the second time. It's Adam Frank standing back at his own 25-yard line. Quakers have blocked four punts this year, and they're coming again, and they almost got there. Cotter just gets it off, and Frank is going to make the catch to 25, bobble it. Still loose, it's on the turf, and the Quakers have fallen on it. Brad Martinez falls on the fumble. So that might be the first play, Hench, where we've seen the rain play a factor. As Frank is kind of looking over his shoulder up into the rain and couldn't bring it in, and Frank is about as sure-handed as they come on punt returns, but luckily Martinez fell on it, so the Quakers will have a first and 10 at their own 25.
Yeah, you never know. You look up into the rain, as you said, you don't have those windshield wipers on, and whether that was an issue or not, it looked like his body was kind of twisted out of position as he went to make the catch as well, but fortunately, Brad Martinez, who's been all over the field here in the early going, was right there to fall on the muff.
8-0 Quakers as they get their second possession of the game. They went for a touchdown the first time they had the football, and they're changing the football here as we were talking off the air, Hench. They brought how many footballs out do they have to
do? They have a dozen for the game, usually three a quarter, but the officials are the ones who determine when they put the new footballs in there. I just think it's amazing that with these wet balls, the quarterbacks can throw it as well as they do.
And they're palling off the ball now as before they get started here. We have 6-12 to play in the first quarter. Penn first and 10 at their own 25, already leading 8-0. McDermott will work under center. Matthews alone in the backfield, wide receiver split. Billy May out far to the right, comes in motion back to the left on first down. It's a handoff to Matthews, off right tackle. He cuts back to the left across the 25, out to the 28-yard line, gain of 3. It'll be 2nd and 7, and while we have a moment, let's pause for station identification. You're listening to Quakers Football.
The flagship station for Penn Quaker football and ESPN College Football Game Day. ESPN Radio 920, Philadelphia's real sports station.
To the Matthews 3-yard run. Quakers at their own 29, McDermott under center, wide receiver split, offset eye in the backfield, that's another handoff to Matthews, up the middle, comes across the 30, maybe the 31-yard line on effort, that'll be a gain of 2, and that will put the Quakers in a 3rd down and 4, and they were successful on 3rd down twice on that first scoring drive, Hench did a good job converting, and they'll need a little magic here once again.
Yeah, same pattern though, 1st and 2nd down, they ran the football, and then on that drive for the first touchdown, they decided to go to the airway, so I expect they're going to put the ball up on 3rd down here.
Quakers break the huddle. McDermott will work out of the gun in a 4-wide receiver set with trips to the left. McDonald alone to the right. Matthews to the right of McDermott in the backfield. Pat takes the snap. Back to throw. Fires left side in. Complete. Tried to hit Matt Carey right at the sticks. And a good job on defense that time. Darian Peterson, the linebacker for Bucknell, just kind of got a hand in there and punched the football away. So Quakers will be forced to punt for the first time today.
WPHY Trenton.
Anthony Melillo back to punt for the Quakers. Melillo averaging 37 yards a boot, and Dante Ross standing back to return this kick. When it comes to punt returns, Ross averaging 11 yards a boot. Good stats of Melillo, and he gets off a wobbly kick. Going to send Ross towards the sideline all the way back to the 25. He makes the catch, comes straight ahead to the 30. Still on the feet, fly down to the play, down the left sideline. 40, 45, midfield. Ross in the Quakers' territory to the 40, down to the 36-yard line. And there's a flag all the way back where that play started. A great return by Dante Ross, but I have to believe that is going to be all for naught. And there was a penalty flag thrown almost immediately as soon as Ross caught the football.
You almost got the feeling that Ross saw the flag go down because at the end of the run he was kind of dejected. And it was certainly a good effort on this point.
So we haven't had a signal yet, but the Quakers are already setting up their defensive huddle deep in Bucknell territory, and it is a penalty against the Bison, so it'll be 1st and 10 Bucknell. And rather than starting at the 36-yard line of Penn, they will come all the way back, and we'll see where they mark the football. 4:42 to play, first quarter. Matt Leon Henchmurray, happy to be with you here at Franklin Field on ESPN Radio 920 and PennAthletics.com. 8-0, the Quakers lead the Bison. 4:42 to play, the Quakers 2-1 coming in, Bucknell 1-3. Final non-Ivy League tune-up for the Quakers before they get into all Ivy League play next week when they travel to New York to play Columbia. After the penalty, they will mark the football down at the, what's that, the 23-yard line. Bucknell's own 23, and that's where they will have it first and 10. Monty Woodard, quarterback, will work under center. Wing to either side. Woodard, play action, option right, and he pitches it to the deep man running and turning the corner for Bucknell across the 25-yard line is Corin Irby, for a couple of yards, one of the slot backs. He's only got a gain 2. Big hit by the Quakers, and we'll bring up 2nd and 8.
Well, that's, again, a great open field tackle by Casey Edgar. He had a little bit of room to work over there. It was one of those open field tackles where it's almost like a cross block, but he had enough of his body into the ball carrier's legs to literally flip him upside down.
So Wooder will work out of the gun this time with Josh DeStefano, the fullback, to his left. 3 wide receivers. They go slot left. Wooder takes the snap. Straight back looking to throw. Wooder is under pressure, rolling out to his right. Nowhere to go. He's going to be sacked back at the 17-yard line. Rick Sandoval getting out of the bottom of that pile. Brian Fairbanks also in on the sack, and it's a big loss back to the 17-yard line. That will actually be a loss of 9 yards, and it will put Bucknell in, guess what, 3rd and long, 3rd and 16. That's where they seem to have been all day.
Yeah, they're going the wrong direction, that's for sure. Penn did a great job of rushing the passer last week at Dartmouth, too. They picked up right where they left off today.
8 sacks last week. Held Dartmouth to 16 yards rushing, and a lot of that because of the yardage lost on sacks. So it's 3rd and 16. Bucknell with their own 17, Woodard under center, bobbles the snap for a moment and just hands it off to the up man, DeStefano, and he gets next to nothing. Might actually lost another yard, and that's going to make it 4th and forever, and Bucknell will be forced to kick again.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just dominant defense by 10. Again, forcing another punting situation. They almost got a piece of the last one. You know, with these tricky conditions here, let's see what they do. If Bucknell has any advantage at all, as we've said a couple times, they got a very strong wind at their backs.
Frank standing in midfield to return the punt. And this is Matt DeMartino punting, and the Quakers almost get there again, but DeMartino gets off a good high kick, and Frank is going to call for the fair catch at his own 48-yard line. So that's where Bucknell will start 1st and 10. So Matt DeMartino doing the punting now for Bucknell, and the Quakers have great field position with 2:42 to play in the first quarter. It's 8-0 Quakers leading Bucknell. And in case you're curious, no, the Quakers didn't intentionally go for 2 on their first drive, but a bad snap led to a 2-point conversion, and Scotty Williams had to corral that bad snap and run in for 2. So it's 8-0 10. Helmsamu Achampong in his deep back for the Quakers. We've seen him for a handful of plays, and he is the deep man in an offset I formation. McDermott is under center. From his own 48-yard line, 1st and 10, McDermott is going to be a delay handoff to Achampong into Bucknell territory down to the 48-yard line. That's his first carry, and it's good for 4. Second down, and let's call it 6 after the run on first down. The Quakers have really shown it's going to be running on first down here in the first quarter here, as they're really trying to establish the ground game.
Well, it's certainly been on 1st and 2nd down. That's been the action.
Offset eye in the backfield. Amu Achampong is the deep back still. McDermott under center. Hands it off to Amu Achampong. Off right tackle. Gain a couple yards. That'll bring up 3rd down and 6.
Well, it makes you wonder whether Kylie Ambrosi is really banged up. I know he's not 100%, but I got the feeling that he was still going to be number 2 in there today. And maybe he's a little more injured than they let on.
3rd down, let's call it 4. Penn at the Bucknell 46 with a minute 41 and counting to play in the first quarter. Penn leading 8-0. McDermott in shotgun. 4 wide receivers. Matthews back in the game to the left of McDermott in the backfield. McDermott back to throw. Has time. Fires right side. It's complete. Matt Carey down to the 39-yard line. It's the 1st down for the Quakers. Nothing more than a little pitch and catch there, and the offensive line's done a great job here early on holding off the Bucknell front 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they do. They had Dan McDonald out wide and carry in the wide slot that time. They both ran an out pattern. They favored McDonald, so he threw the ball to carry. It's that simple.
McDermott in shotgun. Matthews to his left. 4 wide receivers in the game on 1st down and 10 at the Bucknell 38. Quakers looking to build on an 8-0 lead. McDermott takes the snap. Back to throw. Has time. Fire down the right side. Look for Matt Carey. He's wide open, but it's overthrown. Carey had broken free at about the 20, but McDermott threw it a little high and I think over the wrong shoulder of Carey. And when he looked up for the football, he couldn't readjust. And it's going to be 2nd and 10, but they had that one there, Hench.
That one just got away from McDermott. It was a flutter ball down there. Carey had found the seam, as you said, Matt, and he was open for what probably should have been a touchdown, but from the time it left Pat's hand, it just didn't have any character on it.
Second and 10 at the Bucknell 38. McDermott in the gun. Three wide receivers, slot left. Matthews threw up to McDermott in the backfield. On second down and 10, McDermott looking towards the sideline. Looks like he might be audibleizing. Takes the snap. Back to throw. Has time. Firing right side. It's caught by Dan McDonald. A sliding catch at the 24. He hydroplanes down to the 21-yard line. That will be a gain of 18, and it's a first down for the Quakers.
Boy, that's just a timing pattern and a combination good work between the quarterback and receiver that they must just practice over and over again during the week, because he had McDonald going down the sideline, and he knew to throw the ball to the inside. He turned the defender all the way around, and he broke the pattern, bent it back to the inside. The ball was right there for the catch. That's just excellent execution.
First and 10 at the Bucknell 22. Final minute of play, first quarter. Mizell, the tight end, in motion. McDermott under center on first down. McDermott back to throw. Rolling out to his left. He's got some pressure. He's got a man all by himself in the end zone. It's Braden Lopisto. He makes the catch. Did he get the feet down? No. Incomplete. Great catch by Lopisto. He did everything he could to try to drag the foot and just couldn't quite do it. The back judge was right there. It's an incomplete pass, and it's second and 10. Oh, so close.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a shame Pat McDermott doesn't have the advantage of the vision that we do up here, because you could see Braden Lopisto break open right away. He was wide open in the end zone, drifting toward the back of the end zone, but by the time Pat saw him, you know, when he unloaded it, it was just too close to the end line, and he went over. Chris Mizell also open on that. They had Bucknell defense very confused.
Second and 10 at the Bucknell 22. McDermott under center. Brings Okoro in motion left to right. It's going to be a handoff. Sam Matthews up the middle, and he is hit and dropped right at the 20-yard line. Dorian Peterson, the first man there to plug the hole. Gain of a couple, and it brings up second and 8. Third and 8, rather. And that might be the last play of the quarter. We have 20 seconds. Play clock still has not started running. And we'll see if the Quakers have any desire to try to get one final play in here in the first quarter.
Well, I think not. Again, they're going into the wind, which on that one throw to carry that was that wobbler, I think the wind also contributed to that. But they're going to let it run out, get the wind at their backs, and regroup before the second quarter begins here.
So 15 minutes in the books here at Franklin Field. 8-0. Quakers lead the Bison. Second quarter coming up. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner's Cheesesteaks, a neighborhood tradition located at 38 and Chestnut Street. Abner's provides a full menu of sandwiches and is also available to cater your next event. For more information, visit the website at www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. That's www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Again, the website is www.abnerscheesesteaks.com. Abner's Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn Football. World Cafe Live is your place for live music and great food in Philadelphia. Located at 3025 Walnut Street, World Cafe Live features an eclectic blend of live music, fine food, and drinks in a smoke-free environment. Open for lunch Monday through Saturday. The World Cafe Live has a new fall menu that is as diverse as its music. Check out upcoming performances by visiting www.worldcafelive.com. Also, World Cafe Live has a special treat for Penn football fans each game day. Before or after any home game, bring your ticket stub in on the day of the game and receive a free appetizer with your meal. World Cafe Live, where the music cooks and the food rocks.
Eight nothing Quakers lead Bucknell here with 15 minutes to play in the second quarter. We are about to get underway, and the Quakers have a third down and 8 at the Bucknell 20-yard line. Quakers now going right to left on your radio dial. McDermott will work in shotgun. Four wide receivers with trips to the left. Dan McDonald is alone out to the right. Empty backfield with the exception of McDermott on third and 8 from the Bucknell 20. McDermott, the senior quarterback, takes the snap. Three-man rush back to throw. He's under pressure. He's going to be sacked all the way back to the 31-yard line. Protection is broke down that time, and Brandon Bailey came rolling through for his third sack of the season for Bucknell. Make it fourth down and 18 back at the 30-yard line. And what do you do here, Hench? This is kind of an interesting position on the field.
They played field position all first quarter and had the advantage. Long way to go for the first down, of course. So they're going to punt it away.
It would be a 48-yard field goal in this in bad condition.
Yeah, we saw this last week. They may try to kick it up high and see if they can get Ross to not field it.
But Willow had 6 kicks inside the 20 this year. 5 of them were in one game against Duquesne.
Well, he's going to hang it up there, I guess.
Punting, line of scrimmage, the Bucknell 30, and it is just a high spiral. It's going to hit at the 10-yard line, going to take kind of a lateral bounce at the 10, and it's going to be downed right there by the Quakers. And Bucknell will have it first and 10, so nice job by Malillo and the coverage team. They did pretty much what they wanted to do there.
Real well done. Hung it up there, forced it away from Russell. He couldn't fair catch it, couldn't catch it to make a return. Angled it off to the left side. Scotty Williams was down there early, and that's just an excellent punt. A wise decision now. Bucknell's got to handle the football at its own 10-yard line on a rainy, messy day with the wind in its face.
And they have shown the absolute inability to do anything offensively thus far.
Wise decision to hold on to that field position.
So first and 10, Bucknell at their own 10. Woodard at quarterback. 5 wide receivers in the game. Trips to the left, empty backfield. They bring DeStefano in motion, as they do often in this offense. But Woodard looks like he wants to throw. Now he's going to run, rolling around the left side, trying to turn the corner. He can't. He's going to be dropped back at the 8-yard line. Woodard very unsteady as far as what he wanted to do there. It looks like maybe a little flip screen originally that the Quakers read, and then the play broke down, and he just tried to use his athleticism and ended up losing 2 yards.
Well, they've run that quick screen to Dante Ross several times. That time they tried to get him the ball again, or that's what the thinking was anyway, Matt. And again, he was well covered from the get-go, and I think that's what happened. Woodard just decided that he wasn't going to throw it and risk having him make the catch and get tackled for a loss. But on that point on, as you said, he really was indecisive.
So here's Bucknell, second and 11 at their own 9. Ross under center, wingman in motion. It's going to be handoff to DeStefano, and he fumbles the football. It's loose at the 1-yard line, and the Quakers fall on it in the end zone for a touchdown.
That's Greg Ambrosi.
Greg Ambrosi falls on the football in the end zone, and it's 14-0-10.
That's why you punt the football, Matt. You know, whenever you're wondering whether it's a good decision to maintain field position and put them deep in the hole, you just got your answer right there.
And the officials had a quick conference for a moment, I think, on whether or not the football was recovered outside the goal line or in the end zone. They quickly say touchdown, and it's 14-0, Greg Ambrosi's first collegiate touchdown on a fumble recovery.
Well, the ball was actually fumbled around the 5-yard line, and it was squirting and squirting. A couple Quakers looked like they had a shot at it, and every time they couldn't handle it, it got closer and closer to the goal line, and I think finally, Ambrosi, Greg just kind of slid with it across the goal line. They gave him the 6.
Zach in for the extra point out of the hole to Williams. Good snap. Good hold. Kick is up. Kick is no good. Off to the right. So 14-0-10. 13-15 to play. Second quarter. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
At East San Cisco, they know you love to cheer your team on to victory. And now the team at East San Cisco in Fairless Hills has come up with something else to make you cheer. Stop by their station on the corner of Hood and South Olds in Fairless Hills after every Eagles game to receive a coupon for a field goal oil change and a touchdown discount on repairs and inspections. East San Cisco is an old-fashioned service station with complete auto repair, the latest equipment, ASC-certified auto technicians, and that neighborhood trust. East San Cisco performs state emissions and inspections on all vehicles, foreign and domestic. And they offer loyalty cards that automatically give you 10% off on all of your repair bills. You can even use your touchdown discount with your loyalty card for additional savings. Plus, they're always full service, so it's like you're in New Jersey. While you're there, ask about East San Cisco gift cards and prepaid gas cards. East San Cisco, on the corner of Hood and South Olds in Fairless Hills, PA, where they know you.
13-15 to play in your first half. Quakers leading Bucknell 14-0, doing it on defense. Greg Ambrosi with a fumble recovery in the end zone for the touchdown. Quakers' second defensive score of the season. Michael Johns did the trick in the first game against Duquesne, returning an interception 29 yards. And the Quakers are off and running really in all phases, hence that touchdown set up not only by great defense, but great special teams with a pooch punt.
Yeah, the only part that's disturbing, again, is the extra point play. The first one, the bad snap, great reaction by Scotty Williams to take the bad snap and actually run it in for the 2, but it was not a well-executed extra point attempt. And then, of course, they get the good snap, the good hold, and Dirk. Doc just really punched it to the right side. Looked good from where we stand, but no good. And so the coach can't be real happy with that part of the game.
First missed extra point of the season for Derek, who really has been great. 10-11 now on extra points and 7-8 on field goals. So.
Yeah, 4 field goals last week, and you know they were certainly a determining factor in that ball game up at Dartmouth.
And added some problems now with this swirling wind here at Franklin Field. Derek having some problems keeping the ball on the tee, and I would think if it falls off one more time, you have to call in somebody to hold it.
Penn has an interesting kickoff formation. They don't put the ball on the hash mark. They put it about 2 yards inside the right hash mark. I'm not sure what the significance of the 2 yards is, but that's what they do.
Peter Kaufman, Dante Ross back deep to return. That's kick for Bucknell. They will be returning it left to right on your radio dial. Zach approaches the football, and he gets off a line drive, end over end kick. It's going to push Kaufman back to the 1, straight ahead to the 5. Peter Kaufman to the 10, 15, off right side to the 19, stretches out to the 20 where he is tackled, and good special teams coverage by the Quakers once again. Patrick Kimmeter in on that tackle, and he actually lost his helmet. He's fine, though. Picks up the helmet, but give him credit for the tackle. And Bucknell once again with a long field, first and 10 at their own 20.
That's good double team work that time. Scotty Williams was coming down on the outside. He took on the lead blocker that time, opening the defensive tackling lane for Kimmeter that time, who stepped right up and made the sure hit right at the 20-yard line.
So here's Bucknell. First and 10 at their own 20-yard line. They will put Dante Ross in at quarterback to start this series. A wing to either side to Stefano, the fullback, about 4 yards behind the quarterback. Kenny Davis in motion. It's going to be a handoff to the fullback to Stefano, and he pounds ahead for maybe a yard out to the 21-yard line. Taking a look at the Avenue's out-of-town scoreboard. Everybody else in the Ivies was an early start, so we got some finals for you. Yale shuts out Dartmouth 13-0. Cornell beats Harvard 27-13. Brown over Fordham, 37-14 in the fourth. It's Lafayette over Columbia, 14-7. Colgate leads Princeton in the fourth, 13-10. Holy Cross over Lehigh, 13-10. That's in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's a bit of a surprise, huh?
That's a look at the Avenue's out-of-town scoreboard. Yeah, Lehigh just undressed Harvard last week. Second and 9. Bucknell at their own 21. Ross, the quarterback in shotgun, is going to take the snap. He's going to run off the left side. He's going to get nothing. Dante Ross went for 268 yards last week against Marist. Has not been nearly as effective so far today, and I think it's got a lot to do with what the Quakers are doing on defense. They have just been phenomenal so far, Henry.
Well, I think when you play Marist, you may have unrealistic expectations and about your own offense, because Marist is not Penn, and this is a totally different defense that they're facing today. So Penn defense continues to be dominant.
Third and 9 for Bucknell, trailing 14-0 here in second quarter. Ross under center. He's going to fumble the football. He picks it out of the air and then just falls on it right at the line of scrimmage. The ball is popping out all over on the Bucknell side. Good job by Ross just to have the presence of mind to pick it out of the air and just fall to the ground. And Bucknell will be forced to punt. And they have done absolutely nothing on the ground so far. So here is the punter, Matt DiMartino. Adam Frank standing back at his own 41-yard line. Quakers get good field position once again. DiMartino standing back at his own 10. Good snap. Quakers come, don't get there. And DiMartino gets off a solid kick. Angles it towards the sidelines. It hits at the Penn 40 and goes out of bounds at the 37-yard line. And the Quakers will take over first and 10 at their own 37-yard line with 11:07 to play, second quarter. Quakers leading Bucknell 14-0, and they would love nothing more than to get a little more here.
Well, one thing for certain is that the Quakers have had good field position every time they've gotten their hands on the ball. This is no exception. I mean, it's not great, but we'll take it at the 37-yard line. Wind at their back. Continues to rain here in sunny Franklin Field.
McDermott in shotgun. Three wide receivers in the game. Slot to the right. Matthews to the right of McDermott in the backfield. And on first and 10, McDermott back to throw. He's got plenty of time. He's firing on the left side, complete. Billy May at midfield into Bucknell territory, down to the 40, maybe the 39-yard line. Once again, it's all day for Pat McDermott to throw the football.
Yeah, nice adjustment by Billy May, and probably an intentional throw by McDermott. You see that so much again on television where they throw the ball underneath and behind, having the defender with his back to the quarterback. That time May saw it come and made the adjustment, and the defensive back did not.
So it'll be first and 10 for Penn at the Bucknell 39. That's 10:49 and counting to play in the first half. McDermott will work out of the shotgun with three wide receivers. He's got slot left. McDermott inside handoff out of the gun to Matthews, running right, room to run. 40, 35, Matthews inside the 30, dive down to the 29-yard line. Let's see where they mark him down. They're going to say he's down at the 30, so it'll bring up second and 1. Looking at some of the first quarter numbers, Hench. Bucknell, 7 carries for minus 8 yards in the first quarter.
That tells you something.
They were 5 of 5 throwing the football for 24 yards, which, considering they'd only completed 12 coming in, is an impressive feat in itself. But only 24 yards, they haven't done much. So Quaker defense, as we mentioned, doing a great job. Here the Quaker offense has 2nd and 1 at the Bucknell 30. McDermott in shotgun, back to throw, fires left side, complete to Nick Okoro, right at the line of scrimmage, breaks a couple of tackles, still on the feet inside the 25, loses the football away, but I think that was well after he had hit the ground. Anyway, he gets the ball back. So it's a 1st down, Okoro's 2nd catch of the day, and it will be 1st and 10 for Penn at the Bucknell 25. Sticking with the theme of statistics, Pat McDermott 5-9 in the first quarter. Matt Carey, your leading receiver, 38 yards on a couple catches. Matthews, 5 carries, 13 yards. 1st and 10, Penn at the Bucknell 25-yard line. 9:48 to play before halftime. McDermott will work out a shotgun here with a 14-0 lead. 3 wide receivers, slot right. McDermott takes the snap. It's another handoff. Matthews out of the shotgun formation, running off the left side this time. He's forced out of bounds, maybe at the 24-yard line. Might have gotten a yard on merit, bringing up 2nd down and 9. Absolutely determined to establish the ground game today, it looks like, Hench.
It certainly has been their first down play. You know, and that time they ran the sweep out of the shotgun again, that time into the short side of the field, not a lot of room to work with. The other time they ran it with Matthews, he had wide side, and he got tripped up by the ankles, or he might have had a score out of it.
2nd and 9 at the Bucknell 24. McDermott in shotgun. Twin wide receivers to the right. McDermott takes the snap. Back to throw. Blitzes on. Quakers get it. They're firing down the middle. It's complete. Matt Carey at the 5 is in. Touchdown, Quakers. Matt Carey just ran a little post, and it was perfectly thrown by McDermott. It's a 24-yard touchdown strike, and it is 20-0 Penn.
Well, that's just a terrific throw and catch again. Carey on the right side goes down, gave a little bit of a head fake. That's all it was, like he was gone to the flag, then broke into the post. And as soon as he made the cut, the ball was right there. That's great timing work again between the quarterback and the receiver.
8 touchdown pass for McDermott of the season. 4 of them have gone to Matt Carey. So Derek Zock in to attempt the extra point. Good snap, good hold. Zock's kick has the distance. Zock's kick is good. 8:55 to play before the half. Penn leading Bucknell 21-0. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Hey, Fruit, I was wondering, would you want to make flavor splash with me?
Okay, Water.
Let's get together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fruit and water are combined.
Let's get together. What do you say? We'll have a refreshing time.
We'd be a tasty team. Fruit, you turn me right to see in. Together. Let's get together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Think of all that we could be. Let's get together every day. Water sitting in a tree.
And even though you're cold, you're hot.
Of this next line, I forgot.
Sorry.
Together, you can always count on me.
Three variety.
Raspberry, citrus, and wild berry.
Together.
Water and fruit are getting together. Flavor splash for aqua beer. There's something in the water. Flavor.
Back here at Franklin Field, we have 8:55 to play before halftime. Penn leading 21-0. A Sprint Turf Field report. Go down to Brian Seltzer. Ryan.
All right, Matt and Hens. Well, we've seen Matt Carey and quarterback Matt McDermott establish a nice rhythm, so far. And one of the reasons for that, when I spoke with Matt earlier, he said that he's just been able to get on the field a lot more with Pat this season. He said last year there was a little bit of a rotation going on with the wide receivers, but the fact that he was able to get in the spring and establish a constant rhythm, it allowed Pat to know what he was doing in terms of the anticipation for the routes, and that's been key for their chemistry so far. Another thing, the snapper, the long snapper, Steve Fussler, just walked off the field holding his left hand. We'll try to get an injury update on that.
Thank you very much. And, you know, they've had some problems with the long snapping. You don't want to lose your long snapper, so we'll definitely keep an eye on that. So the Quakers set to kick off. Derek Zock will do the kicking. Peter Kaufman, Dante Ross standing back at their own 5-yard line. And Zock pooches it. It's going to be short. It's going to hit the 25-yard line. It's going to go out of bounds. So not what I'm sure Al Bagnoli was looking for on the pooch kick, something that worked pretty effectively last week. But this one goes out of bounds, so it'll give Bucknell a good starting field position. The Qdoba Mexican Grill scoring summary. Quakers go 63 yards, 5 plays, and 212. 24-yard pass, Pat McDermott to Matt Carey. Extra point by Derek Zock is good. 21-0-10 over the Bison. 8:55 to play before the half. I want to remind you once again at halftime, Tim Mazzetti will be our halftime guest, former Quakers kicker, also kicked for the Falcons in the NFL, and kicked for the Boston / New Orleans / Portland Breakers of the old USFL, if you want to stick around for that.
I'm not sure why they do that kick. I mean, they were having pretty good success kicking it deep. I'm going to have to coach that one.
Monty Woodard at quarterback for Bucknell. They start this drive at their own 35 after the penalty. Woodard takes the snap, back to throw off a play action fake. He's going deep down the middle of the field, looking for a man. It's knocked away by Vic DeVonzo at the 35-yard line of 10. DeVonzo just kind of settled under that. There was a lot of air under that football. Richard Simpson was the intended receiver. He's the leading receiver coming into this game for Bucknell with a whopping 4 catches. A great job by DeVonzo as the Quakers were not fooled on that.
Yeah, he had Doug Middleton back there, too. The two safeties just kind of converged on it. And it wasn't pretty what DeVonzo did, but he certainly was in good position and got a hand up and plenty of time to bat it down.
Second and 10, Bucknell at their own 35. Now they come out with a wing to either side. Kenny Davis, the slot man, goes in motion. It's a handoff to DeStefano, the fullback, and he breaks through the line of scrimmage across the 40, out to the 44-yard line. That, my friends, is a gain of 9, and then the longest run in terms of yardage from scrimmage today for Bucknell, a 9-yard gain by DeStefano, the fullback, brings up third and 1.
Yeah, that's that fullback straight ahead play we talked about. That's the one you got to stop. It's the first time I've had any success with it here this afternoon. Penn might have been caught a little bit by surprise on it. They haven't run it. They haven't given it to the fullback all afternoon.
Now they come out in this spread option formation, a wing to either side, DeStefano, the fullback, straight behind Woodard, the quarterback. And it's going to be a handoff to DeStefano, and he dives across the 45 out to the 47-yard line, and he gets the first down. And we talked about how ineffective this offense is as a rule in third and long. Where it's very dangerous is in a third and one situation, Hench, with so many options to go to on the ground.
Yeah, that time again, they went right back to the fullback, figuring we had success on the previous snap. Let's try it again. Let's get the first down.
I mean, if nothing else here, Bucknell's just got to be thinking we need to string some first downs together to just keep the defense off the field because they've really had to work hard today. 21-0, 10 leading. Woodard in shotgun, puts Kenny Davis in motion. Woodard wants to run the option. Instead, he shovels it forward to DeStefano. It's tipped away and picked up by Johnny Williams. Ready with the football. 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Quakers, Johnny Williams. His second score today. He had a 2-point conversion after the first touchdown. This time he picks up an Eric Shovel pass and he rumbles 47 yards for the touchdown. And the route is on here at Franklin Field, 27-0 Penn.
Well, I didn't see who made the hit on the shovel pass on the inside, but somebody blocked him as the ball popped up. Scotty Williams, ever alert, took it out of the air. And just a nice piece of running. He looked like a tailback going down the field. Now he's got to collect himself and get ready to hold for this extra point. Whistler is in there, by the way.
Yeah, he was banged up on the last extra point, but he's back in there now. Good to see Steve back on the field. Zock will attempt the extra point. He's 2-3 today. Good snap, good hold. Zock's kick has the distance. Zock's kick is good. 7:32 to play before halftime. Penn leading Bucknell 28-0, and you're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
When I travel, I want to relax. If I have to sit in traffic, why not be surrounded by leather in a virtually soundproof vehicle while I get some work done? I want to get to the airport hassle-free, but the train is not an option, and business people don't take the bus. That's why I call A1 Limousine for all my travel needs. Whether it's just to the airport or anywhere between Connecticut and D.C., I take A1. It's so easy. I just log on to A1Limo.com and type in my info. I registered for free a few months back, and with just a couple of keystrokes, I have a professional driver at my door on time, ready to transport me to any destination. And when my company has a convention, A1 can accommodate our thousands of international and out-of-town employees in 300 top-of-the-line vehicles. They have an amazing driving record and pay close attention to detail and safety. Go online today, A1Limo.com. That's the letter A, the numeral 1, Limo.com. Or call 800-367-0070. That's 800-367-0070.
A1 Limousine. People going places. Because people going places. Want to go A1 Limousine.
7:32 to play before the half, and it's all Quakers here at Franklin Field. They lead Bucks now 28-0. Defense has scored its second touchdown of the day. It's Scotty Williams' fumble flash interception return. We'll see how they score it. Zock the kickoff, and this one's a true kickoff. Good high end over end kick. Coming back to Dante Ross at his own 3. Straight ahead to the 5, 10, 15. Ross finds the team left side, 25, 30, 35, 40. Ross to the 45. Ross to midfield. Derek Zock makes a great open field tackle at the 10, 48-yard line. But Dante Ross, first time we've seen him really be able to use that explosiveness, a 50-yard kickoff return. And you see why he's so dangerous there, as he just kind of waited and stalked his way, and then as soon as he saw that team, he exploded.
Yeah, good acceleration, as you said. It also may explain why they do that push kick every so often. At least he can't get his hands on the football. He certainly did a nice effort that time.
So easily the best starting field position for Bucknell, trailing 28-0 at the Penn 47. What is the quarterback in shotgun? It's a man in motion, play action. What is back to throw? He's under pressure. He's just heaving one on the right side. That's up for grabs. It's tipped away, and it is intercepted. Now it's incomplete. Michael Johns went toe-to-toe with Kenny Davis, the slot back, and I think actually Johns had the better shot at the football, and he couldn't bring it in. It's incomplete, 2nd and 10. And, boy, I'll tell you, when Water throws anything outside of 5 yards, it's really an adventure, Hank.
And I'll tell you, he's under tremendous pressure from the get-go. He just, the Penn defense is giving him fits.
And I think we saw that we've seen more designed passes than we expected out of this Bucknell offense. So 2nd and 10 off the incompletion. Ross now in a quarterback. Dante Ross in shotgun, rolling right, running the option. He's going to pitch it to the deep man. It's going to be a 6-yard loss. Nothing happened at that time. Kadero Watson could not turn the corner. The Quakers came up. Michael Johns in there. Sandoval, the usual suspect. And it's going to bring up 3rd and 16. And they've really got this option attack figured out here in the first half, Inch.
Well, they tried to pitch that time. As you said, when they can't throw the ball, that takes a little bit of an advantage away from that option. You've got to be able to play action off the option. And Penn has had no problem pass defending here. So that time, Michael Johns, as soon as he saw the action coming his way, he was able to come up to the line of scrimmage and just made a great open field tackle.
3rd and 16, Bucknell at their own 47. Austin shotgun, he's going to throw. He is back. He's under pressure. He's tripped up, and he's going to be sacked back at the 44-yard line. Rick Sandoval in on that one, as well as J.J. Stanton, and it is another quick 3 and out for the Bucknell offense. They started this drive at the Penn 47, and they ended at their own 44 on a 4th and 19 play now. DeMartino in the punt.
But the defense is just hitting on all corners out there.
DeMartino standing at his own 33 to punt it away. Franks at his own 20 to return it. Good snap. Quakers come. Don't quite get there. DeMartino gets off a good kick. It's going to send Franks back, and he's going to let it hit at the 18-yard line. It's going to bounce out of bounds at the 19, and Penn will be buried inside their own 20 at the 19, leading 28-0, 5:46 to play here in your first half. And let's head down to the field for a sprint turf field report. See what Brian Seltzer has for us. Brian.
Well, Matt and Hens, I spoke with Penn's head trainer, Mitch Buno. He said that Steve Whistler just suffered a sprained shoulder, and he will be. Well, he's already been back in the game. He's just going to work through it. Nothing too serious.
Thank you very much, Brian. So that's good to know. Well, a sprained shoulder. A lot of shoulder injuries on this Quaker team this year.
And coming off the field.
1st and 10, Penn at their own 19. McDermott in shotgun, back to throw. Has time, they're setting up the screen. He's intercepted. The pass is intercepted by Bucknell. One of the defensive linemen with the interception. Takes it back to the 9-yard line. That's Sean Conover, who just kind of reached up. And I honestly couldn't tell you who that pass was intended for, because the only person that saw that was in the area for the Quakers was Marco Gerzon, the tackle. It's going to be 1st and goal at the 8 for Bucknell off the interception.
Well, that's just, you know, the infrequent kind of inconsistency that you see from Pat McDermott. Sometimes you just wonder why he throws the football. Now, that time, Sean Conover, the defensive lineman, looks like he's about 10 feet tall, and that may have had something to do with it, but that screen pass never had a chance.
But needless to say, Bucknell needs 6 here. They have Woodard at quarterback under center, hands it off. Now he holds on to it, and he's going to run with it down to the 6-yard line, maybe the 5. Good fake by Woodard to the Stefano, the fullback, and then a little quarterback keeper, and he gained 3 yards. It'll bring up 2nd and goal. So the Quakers just handing Bucknell great field position here, and you don't want to do anything to make Bucknell think they got a shot in this game.
No, we certainly didn't want to do that.
28-0 Penn. They've dominated in all phases, and Bucknell has a chance to sneak some points in here off of the bad turnover. So Ross in at quarterback now. Second and goal. Bucknell at the 5, and Ross can't handle the snap. It's loose. He's going to run with it. He's got a lane off the left side. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Dante Ross. It was a bad snap. He couldn't bring it in. It was loose on the turf. Once he was able to corral it, though, it parted like the Red Sea off left tackle, and he just sprinted for the goal line, and it's 28-6.
I'm not even sure what happened there. I don't think anybody blocked and created a running lane when the ball got tumbled and bounced around back there. It looks like the Penn defense kind of widened itself and maybe was trying to protect something from him running to the outside. What he did is he took off right up the middle, and as you said, it was a huge opening there.
So here comes Bucknell. This is Will Carney attempting the extra point. Good snap, good hold. It's an ugly kick, but it's good. And with 4:58 to play, it's 10-28. Bucknell 7. So the Bison really get handed a touchdown that time on the interception off the screen pass. Only had to go 8 yards, so they do cash in for 6. And it has the Franklin Field crowd here a little uneasy because it just really was something that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, not a whole lot of people here today. Non-league opponent, lousy day with the weather. And one nice thing about Franklin Field is the crowd can stay undercover and at least be dry here watching this.
You know what's great is I put my sheets together during the weekend and I had 3 guys listed as possible people that would handle the kicking for Bucknell. Nary a one of them has been in the game at all.
You know, another thing that may have happened there, I'm just thinking about it, the Penn defense comes off the field after scoring Scotty Williams, and they're sitting down on the bench, and they are pretty pleased with their performance here. 2 touchdowns for the defense, and next thing you know, they're back on the field. And it's like, you know, why are we out here? I got to get my head back in the game. It's not a sort of normal exchange there. Because on that touchdown, they just look kind of adrift.
And you also, I wonder if since Ross fumbled the snap, a lot of times what you see on kickoff returns is guys kind of get out of position, ball's loose on for the football, and once Ross was able to secure it, it was an easy touchdown. So the 5-yard touchdown run by Dante Ross on our Qdoba Mexican Grill scoring summary caps a 2-play, 8-yard drive, 42 seconds. There's the kickoff, and it is a short one, and it's going to be taken by Ambrosi, one of the up men at the 18-yard line. Greg Ambrosi running laterally to the 25 after the 26-yard line. So good job by Ambrosi to just bring that football in. Any ball you're catching out of the air today is an adventure because of the weather conditions.
Well, that's for sure, and the rain is continuing steadily here. An ugly afternoon at Franklin Field.
Except if you look at the scoreboard. The
scoreboard is pretty good looking.
28-7-10. Leading Bucknell with 4:50 to play before halftime. Penn will have a 1st and 10 at their own 27-yard line. Matthews alone in the backfield. The wide receivers are split. McDermott's under center. On 1st and 10, McDermott takes the snap, hands it off to Matthews off right tackle, and he's going to lose a couple back to the 25-yard line. And Bucknell just came rolling through that time. Not much of a chance of anything happening after that play. Brandon Bailey in on the tackle for Bucknell. They'll bring up 2nd and 12, and momentum right now in the favor of the Bison, Hench.
Yep. And I may jinx people out on the field, but so far, Matt, the fact that it's been raining and raining steadily has not seemed to affect the footing.
No, and hasn't affected the Quakers. The ball's been flipping all over the place from the Bucknell side, but Penn's in good shape in that position. On 2nd and 12 from their own 25, 3 wide, slot right, McDermott in the gun. Pat back to throw, pump fake, rolling out to his right, looking. He's got fire on the right side incomplete, looking for Matt Carey. I think that was half thrown away and half in the direction of Matt Carey. And he'll bring up 3rd and 12. And it was all Pat could do to just get away from Brandon Bailey that time. He's playing a nice game at the defensive end position for the Bison.
He was under pressure from the get-go that time. I don't know whether it was an intended rollout or whether the pocket just broke down that quickly, but he was running to his right for his life. Carey was headed up the sideline, and there was no way he was going to throw the deep ball running backwards. And that's when Matt broke the pattern, came back toward the ball, and again, I think you're right. I think Pat just kind of threw it out of bounds.
So it's 3rd and 12, 10 at their own 25, 3 wide receivers, slot right. McDermott in the gun with Matthews to his right in the backfield. McDermott back to throw, has time, firing down the middle, is tipped, incomplete, almost intercepted. Almost intercepted by Stephen Collage, the free safety. It was off the hands of Carey, looked like it was a little behind him. And it's a quick 3-and-out for the Penn offense, and they will be forced to pump the ball away with 3:59 to play before halftime.
Yeah, tough ball to catch. Carey's coming from right to left across the middle at about 18 to 20 yards. The ball on his back shoulder, and he couldn't get himself turned around enough to get there. And they're probably lucky that wasn't picked on the tip.
Dante Ross standing back at his own 38 to receive the punt from Anthony Melillo. And Melillo gets off a short kick. Looks like a little bit off the side of his foot. It's going to hit at the Bucknell 45, and that's where Scotty Williams will down it right there, make it the 43. And it'll be first and 10 Bucknell. A good starting field position for the Bison. They try to cut into a 28-7-10 lead. Nice to get another turnover here, Ange, to grab that momentum back. Because right now, I don't think there's any doubt. Bucknell has it.
Yeah, defense has to not give itself a lot of high fives right now, but get back to business.
Monty Woodard starts this series at quarterback. He and Dante Ross have split time there. Woodard in shotgun. DeStefano, the fullback, to his left. They put Kenny Davis, the slot man, in motion, and it's going to be play action. Woodard running left, trying to turn the corner, and he can't because Brad Martinez was there to horse collar him back at the 40-yard line. That's a loss of four, and Brad Martinez is playing a whale of the game, Hench.
He's showing really good speed, too, to be able to stay with that. Now, Martinez just went down on one knee, so I don't... When he flung him down, he went down pretty hard himself. So he may have kind of shook himself. He obviously shook himself up. Exactly what the nature of it, we'll find out.
But he has been he has really been all over the ball today, Hench.
Yeah.
Now our training, and now Martinez is going from one knee to sitting down. So now they're helping him up, and
I think he might have. He's gimping a little bit.
He's mostly walking under his own power. So. We'll get an update on it for you, and you don't want to lose Brad for too long, because as I've mentioned several times, he's played a whale in the first half here. It's been a great job.
He's really shown quickness and speed to cover the pitch man or the quarterback on that option series. That time he did a real good job just step for step with Woodard and flinging him down.
The second and 14 for Bucknell, back at their own 40. Woodard will remain in at quarterback. Woodard under center. Wide receiver split out wide to the left. It's Richard Simpson. DeStefano, the fullback, a slot to either side. And Woodard, play action, back to throw. Pump fake, sack, loses the football. It's still loose, back at the 31-yard line, and I think Bucknell got it back, and they did. Sandoval, Corey getting in on the sack, and then at the last moment, the ball popped loose. Looked for a second like the Quakers might have a shot at it, but Bucknell was able to fall on the football. But it's a loss of 9, and it puts Bucknell in a third and, let's call it 23, back at the 31.
That was just unrelenting pressure. I mean, there was no running or lane for any defender to go through. They just took that whole offensive line and shoved it back about 5 or 6 yards to create that sack.
So on third and 23, Bucknell goes three wide receivers, wing to the right, DeStefano alone in the backfield, Woodard back to throw. Now he's going to pull it back and he's going to run. Off right tackle across the 30 out to the 34-yard line. Not much happening there. 3-yard gain, but on third and 23, it doesn't do you much good, and that'll bring out the punting unit as the Quaker defense got its sea legs back on that one after the touchdown. And they were dominant that series once again.
Really well played again that time by Casey Edgar from his safety spot that time. They bring him in as an extra back. He was up toward the line of scrimmage that time. Just shed the block and got in there and got a piece and made a nice open field hit.
Martino back at the 24 to punt this football away for Bucknell. Frank standing at his own 30 to return the kick. Quakers bringing some pressure. They almost get there, but DeMartino shanks it badly. Shanks it real badly. Let's see where they mark this football. They're going to say the right of midfield, so let's call that a 16-yard punt if you're scoring at home. And the Quakers are in excellent field position to start this drive with a minute 39 to play in the first half. Penn leading 28-7, and they will start first and 10 right at midfield.
And they've got all the timeouts, so that's plenty of time for McDermott to work with here.
Pat's had a good game. The one bad throw on the interception on the screen, but other than that, he played very well once again. A couple of touchdown strikes, one to Mizell, one to Carey. See what the Quakers can do here in a hurry-up offense situation. First and 10 Quakers, right in midfield. McDermott in shotgun, four wide receivers in the game, a slot to either side. Matthews to the right of McDermott in the backfield. Penn leading 28-7, looking for more. On first down, McDermott takes the snap. It's a delay handoff to Matthews inside. He's going to be hit right at the line of scrimmage and dropped for no gain. Actually might lose a yard when it's all said and done. Ryan Walsh just stops the Bucknell, and the Quakers will quickly call a timeout with 1:32 to play before the break. First timeout for Penn. First timeout actually for either team. Bring up second and 11. So the Quakers, they've stayed with the running game, Hench, but it really hasn't been there.
Now, usually I can make some kind of comment about what happens on a play, but that was just ugly.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
Quakers have had a lot more success throwing the football today than they have running it.
Yeah, McDermott has thrown some terrific balls. He's thrown a couple that have just been slightly off the mark, a little bit behind receivers. And again, you know, is it a function of being a wet, windy day that we're not able to hold on to those or not? Coach Bagnoli giving the official a hard time down there on the spot for that punt. And I think it's an issue every time those punts go out of bounds, because the referee who's behind the punter is not lined up directly behind the punter, so he's already got a bad angle to spot where it goes out. This particular one, Matt, happened to go out right over the Penn bench. So they were standing there. They could see where it crossed the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we know how he feels about officials as a matter of course.
Minute 32, it's second and 10, Penn at midfield. McDermott in shotgun. He has a four wide receiver set with a slot to either side. Matthews to his right in the backfield. Second down, McDermott takes the snap. Back to throw, fires left side incomplete, too wide for Matt Carey at the 43 of Bucknell. Now bring up third and 10. Big third down here, because you'd hate to waste this field position in this situation, Hench. Even though you're up 28-7, you got a real chance to maybe deliver a knockout blow here.
Yep. Well, I think what happened is they thought they had the knockout blow with that last touchdown to make it 28-0 with Scotty Williams, and then the next thing you know, it's not 28-0, and Bucknell's got a little bit of life.
Three wides on third and 10 from midfield. Slot left, McDermott in shotgun once again, as he has been this entire series. McDermott back to throw. He's got time. Pump fake, fires across the middle, complete to Mizell with the 43, fights for extra yardage, gets the first down to the 38-yard line. Mizell made the catch at about the 42 and just refused to be denied. The last 5 yards were all him. Is the Quakers' new life a first and 10 at the Bucknell 38 with a minute 19 to play before the break. McDermott in shotgun, four wide receivers set. Matthews remains in the game to his right in the backfield. McDermott designed sprint out right side. Pat looking, still looking. Now he's just going to throw it away at the feet of Braden Letisto at the 32-yard line. Had a lot of congestion on that side as everything flowed to the far side of the field. McDermott just decided to throw it away and try again on second down.
It was a designed roll out of that shotgun. And again, Bucknell rolled into the coverage, and they were pretty well blanketing the Penn receivers. So he wisely threw it out of bounds instead of running out of bounds. Because if he'd run out of bounds, he would have lost a couple of yards.
Three wides on second and 10 at the Bucknell 38. McDermott back to throw. Firing left side. He's got a man. It's McDonald at the 20-yard line. Rolled out of bounds at the 15. David Frisberg on the tackle for Bucknell, but the Quakers are in business. First and 10 at the Bison 15 with 57 seconds remaining before halftime.
I think they marked him out of bounds. He caught the ball inbounds by about 2 yards and got tackled out of bounds. They did stop the clock. Nice adjustment on the ball by Dan McDonald.
McDermott will work out a shotgun. Four wide receivers set. Slot to either side. Matthews to McDermott right in the backfield. McDermott back to throw. Has time. Fires left side. Incomplete. In and out of the hands of the leaping Matt Carey at the 12-yard line. It would have been a minimal gain even if he had been able to bring it in.
I think they got to look for Mizell again here. He's been the go-to guy down near the goal line. They've hit him out of that bootleg, but they've also hit him on the drop back when he runs that little tight end seam down the middle of the field. He is in the game.
Tight end on the near side. McDermott in shotgun has three wide receivers all split wide to the right, and he's got Matthews in the backfield to his right. McDermott on second and 10 from the 15. Hands it off Matthews. Room to run left side if he can turn the corner, but he cannot. He's tackled right at the 15 by David Frisberg, the cornerback, who did a good job coming up and forcing the issue. That'll bring up third and 10. If Frisberg doesn't make that tackle, Matthews might score. But he did, so with 45 and a half seconds to play before halftime, Penn has a third and 11 now at the Bucknell 16-yard line.
Well, they stretched the field after the wide side. The ball's on the left hash, and they had the ball three receivers to the right, and Chris Mizell was the tight end to the left side on the shotgun look. He made the inside handoff to Matthews coming left into the short side of the field. Mizell wasn't able to get the contain block. And when that happens and they get that leverage, Sam Matthews really had nowhere to go on it.
I don't think there's any doubt here they're going to be putting the football in the air.
Well, they're certainly in field goal range. But they, as you said, Matt, they'd like to get into the end zone.
Yeah, a touchdown right before the half, I think, in a game like this would almost be fatal for Bucknell. Right now, they're clinging to hope only, I think, on the strength of that one touchdown they were basically handed off the turnover. So here we go, third and 11 at the Bucknell 16. McDermott under center, offset eye back. Still three wide receivers, slot right. Lepisto in the slot to the right. Now they send Matthews out in motion as a wing to the right. McDermott back to throw, fires on a slant. It's complete down to the 5-yard line to Dan McDonald. He is going to be very close to a first down. Where they're marking it, I would say he's short by about half a yard. What do you do here, Hank?
Well, I don't know. The clock is running, so they didn't get the first down. I guess they're going to let the clock run down and kick the field goal.
Yeah, with 23, 22, it's going to be fourth and half a yard at the 6-yard line.
Why aren't they spiking the ball?
Fourth down.
Of course, that's why they're not spiking the ball. So, yeah, they're doing the right thing. They're going to run the clock down and kick the field goal. Ball almost in the middle of the field, resting on the, 6-yard line.
Okay, 23-yard attempt for Derek Zock. And
good thing they didn't spike the football.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they will bring Zock in. Good pattern and good throw by McDonald. Came up half a yard short. Dan McDonald's really blossoming into that big wide receiver.
Yeah, he reminds you a little bit of Castles. You know, he's got a ways to go to be Castles. But
coming into this week, he had a catch of at least 40 yards in every game so far this season. So this will be Derek Zock in to attempt the 20. So they're setting up. I guess it'll probably be about a 25-yard field goal attempt. Zock's been very good. 7 of 8 on the season field goal-wise coming in. Has missed an extra point today. It was his first missed extra point of the season. Out of the hold of Scotty Williams. Boys, where will snap. Zock's ready to go with 7 seconds remaining. Good snap. Good hold. Zock's kick has the distance. And Zock's kick is good with 2.5 seconds to play before halftime. And it extends the lead to 31-7. On a 25-yard field goal by Derek Zock. And just probably enough time now to kick the ball anywhere but into the hands of Dante Ross, I would imagine, is the philosophy here. And then just head into the locker room with a 24-point lead.
Yeah, you would think they're going to kick a ground ball. And while they didn't get into the end zone, you got to feel that 3 points is a momentum issue here as they head into the half. Nice work against the clock to get the football down the field and get the 3 points.
So Penn looking for their third win of the season. They lead 31-7 over Bucknell. Kaufman and Ross will be back deep to return this kick. I would be stunned, though, if the ball comes within 20 yards of Dante Ross in this situation, though, Hench.
I would think a ground ball here to force one of those up people to get his hands on it would be the answer. But as soon as they touch it, the half's going to end.
Heck, you might even onside kick and just
they're going to just hit a ground ball here.
Zock approaches the football, and it is basically a ground ball onside kick type. It's going to be taken by one of the upmen, I think, for Bucknell. Finally falls on it at the 31-yard line, and that's going to be the half. So the Quaker, a very, very strong first half, a phenomenal half defensively, 2 defensive touchdowns. They really just completely stymied Bucknell, and they lead 31-7. And really what you like to see, Hench, a good first half against a team that you're really more talented than.
Yeah, I think Bucknell's having a Marist hangover. I think they, in getting their first win last week against a really inferior opponent, they probably had their expectations set really high coming into this game. And history would say that Bucknell always plays Penn tough. We know that, but this is, I think it's a physical skill level mismatch.
Halftime here at Franklin Field. Let's turn it over to Brian Setzer for our halftime show. Brian.
All right, Matt and Hinch, thanks a lot. The score as we go into intermission, 31-7. Penn out blasting away the Bison, who trampled in here. Maybe a little bit too overconfident, but they certainly look sluggish on the field today. The Quakers defense really doing an exceptional job of keying
on that spread option offense, really not letting it spread out. Take a look at some of the scoring so far the Quakers got on the board. First, a Pat McDermott pass complete to Chris Mizell for his first career touchdown, a 15-yard strike in the end zone. Now, the extra point attempt was blocked and bobbled off of a poor snap from the Quakers. That allowed Scott Williams to take it himself, run to the right side and into the end zone, an 8-0 Quakers lead. They then went up 14-0, their defense doing a good job, forcing a fumble, recovering, and they got on the board to increase their lead as well early on in the second quarter. We worked our way to around the 9-minute mark in this first half, and that's when the Quakers offense really started to erupt. A 24-yard pass from Pat McDermott to Matt Carey, Carey's fourth of the season from McDermott. He came into this year with no touchdown receptions, so far, the two are clicking, Matt Carey and Pat McDermott. That scoring drive went five plays for 63 yards in just 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Derek Zock tacked on the extra point to make it a 21-0 Quaker edge. Then it seemed to really get out of hand about a minute and a half later as Scotty Williams picked off a pass, returning it for his first touchdown. That was also his first career interception. A large Penn lead at 28-0 at that point with 7.5 minutes to go in the opening half. Derek Zock added a perfect extra point to give the Quakers a very large lead. However, Bucknell, they still had some spunk and some firepower in them on the defensive side of the ball. They were able to capitalize on a Pat McDermott interception when the Quakers had their heels pinned to their own goal line. That set up a very short drive for the Bison, just two plays going 8 yards in 42 seconds. It was a 5-yard run from Dante Ross. He really is the only dagger that the Bucknell Bison have in their arsenal. He came through there with a much-needed touchdown before the game really started to spiral out of control. It was an extra point tacked on, and goodbye Ryan Korn to make it a 28-7 game. Derek Zock added off the final points of this first half for the Quakers. A 24-yard field goal was good for Zock. That capped off a 9-play, 44-yard drive in just a minute and a half. So that's where the Quakers stand. They take a 31-7 lead into the half. Coming up on the Quakers Halftime Report, we are going to hear an interesting interview that our own Nat Leon has with Tim Mazzetti. That's all coming your way next on the Quaker Halftime Report, presented by United Healthcare. You're listening to Penn Football on ESPN 920.
You're listening to Penn Football on ESPN Radio 920. Today's Penn Football Halftime Show is presented by United Healthcare.
Your Philadelphia Yellow Book Yellow Pages is packed with buying information, complete Yellow Pages, business white pages, community information, area maps, money-saving coupons, even a restaurant menu section. And the easy-to-read format helps you find whatever you're looking for. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Yellow Pages reach your potential customers at the exact moment they are ready to buy. For more information about promoting your business in the Philadelphia Yellow Book, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW. 1-800-YB-YELLOW. That's 1-800-YB-YELLOW. Yellow Book, not the other book.
So tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, you can get here for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Does your present bank fit your lifestyle? Can you afford your checking account? Are you looking for a good reason to switch? Well, Commerce Bank gives you all the reasons you need. Whether you're looking for a new bank for all of your personal finances or a better bank for your business needs, Commerce is all about convenience. Your convenience. What makes them so special? How about 7-day branch banking with the longest hours around? They're open weeknights till 8 o'clock, and Commerce offers plenty of free services like free personal checking, no fee ATM, Visa check card, and free online banking. They'll even count your loose coins for free. Commerce has everything you've ever wanted in a bank. If you think Commerce is too good to be true, check it out for yourself. Stop by any of their convenient locations. For more information, call 1-888-751-9000 or connect to commerceonline.com. The number again is 1-888-751-9000 or commerceonline.com. Welcome to Commerce, America's most convenient bank. Member FDIC. Free checking for the first year, then $100 minimum balance.
Here at Franklin Field, halftime between Penn and Bucknell, 31-7, Quakers out in front. You're listening to Penn Football.
Your home for the NFL on ESPN Radio every Sunday at 1. ESPN Radio 920, Philadelphia's real sports station. WPHY Trenton.
Damp conditions here at Franklin Field, certainly not dampening Penn's spirits. They're up handily 31-7 over the Bucknell Bison. Now, through the years, this Penn program has produced some exceptional kickers. Jason Feinberg, second all-time in the Ivy League in scoring. Peter Veldman is on that list as well at 10th. However, none of them can make the claim that 1976 graduate Tim Mazzetti can. Our own Matt Leon shed some light on that situation. He sat down with Tim earlier.
When did kicking first become something that you were interested in?
Without running out of your allotted time, Matt, it actually was almost a dare by one of my, at the time, ATO mates. I was a pledge at ATO and became a member there, fraternity brother. And one of the guys used to play football for Harry Gamble back in 1974-75. And at the time, they had a straight-on kicker who wasn't very good. An extra point was an adventure, and he probably couldn't even attempt anything outside 35 yards. Anyway, long story short, this frat brother of mine said, "You know what? We could really use some help." And I've seen the leg you have in kicking soccer and footballs around the quad area. So he said, "Why don't you come talk to Harry and meet him?" And that was before my sophomore year. So it was the summer before my sophomore year. And so he brought me down to Franklin Field and the coach's offices. And I kind of poked my head around the corner at the allotted time and looked at Harry. And Harry looked at me. And he probably rolled his eyes, although he disguised it at the time. And he said, "Oh, boy, not another one of those weird soccer-style kickers," because I think he had tried out a few in the previous years. And anyway, long story short, it ended up being a great relationship between Harry and myself. I ended up kicking that sophomore year, and then the junior and the senior year. Ended up setting a couple of Penn records, I think, with some records I think that still stand at 54 yards. And had a blast. But that was sort of the beginning of my kicking career. And more interestingly, it was the seed that was planted, and very much through Harry, that I may even have an opportunity to try out in the NFL if I continue to work at it.
Any specific kicks during your time at Penn that really stick out?
Well, my senior year, we did not have a very good team. I think we were 3-6. And I know that in all three games I played a very important part in winning the games we won, mostly off of kicks. I think the games that stick out the most was a Friday night game at Franklin Field where I set the Penn, and I think at the time tied the Ivy League record for 54 yards, and I believe it was against Lehigh. And I think Lehigh was a team that was happy to see me graduate. I think the very following year, I kicked 3 field goals against them to help Penn beat them, I think, by a score of 16-10 or something like that. Good memories, though, altogether.
Can you talk a little bit about the circumstances that brought you to the NFL, specifically brought you to the Falcons?
Well, again, Harry was instrumental. Harry, again, gave me the confidence and actually put me in touch or may even have contacted some professional scouts on my behalf into my senior year, and ended up getting me a tryout with the New England Patriots in 1977, and I ended up going to training camp with the Patriots. Unfortunately, I flunked the physical, and these are all long stories, but I had a hernia, which I'd had for many, many years, and unlike in college where I could just tell the doctors, "You know what, I'll push off the operation till next year." In the NFL, that couldn't happen because they only carry one kicker. So literally went to training camp with the New England Patriots in 77, and they said, "Son, this is the NFL. You've got to get this fixed because otherwise you can't play. It's too much of a risk that something could happen, and, you know, I'd have to be rushed to the hospital." So that was the end of my first tryout in the NFL ever. It was fairly discouraging. And unfortunately, I had left Penn and graduated, and I didn't have any insurance, so I had to go back to work and figure out how to save money to finally get the operation done. That's what happened in the fall of 77. And then ended up going back to Brazil, where I grew up, to get in shape and work out with a professional soccer team. And I remember that was in the spring of 78, and Harry contacted me down at my parents' down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and told me, you know, if you're serious about trying to get back in the NFL, I've had some scouts sniffing around, now's the time for you to get back up here. And long story short, again, I got invited to training camp by the Philadelphia Eagles when Dick Vermeil was the head coach and Carl Peterson was the general manager, and ironically, they're both now in Kansas City where I live, so I run across them all the time, but that's how small the world is in the NFL. But went to training camp with the Philadelphia Eagles. I was one of three rookies, and they had an incumbent veteran. I ended up beating out the two rookies in the first week or so, and then it was just me and the veteran, a fellow by the name of Nick Mickemeyer. And we went head-to-head throughout the entire 6 weeks of training camp, came down to the final cut, and Dick Vermeil decided he didn't want to go into the season with an untested rookie, so he let me go. And ended up, the fact that I played all four preseason games and, in essence, got into the scouting computers was the break I needed. And I actually made all my kicks in training camp. I think I was 2 for 2 in field goals, made all the extra points, was kicking off deep. And so they basically had me on their radar. So when the season began, I ended up getting invited to tryouts, first at Dallas with the Cowboys. And I lost out to Septien, and then a few weeks later, already into the middle of the season, I got invited to training camp with the New Orleans Saints. And I actually pulled my hamstring for that one, but came back, got in shape, and then Atlanta called me up 6 games into the season of the 1978 year and invited me down for a tryout because their kicker was doing very poorly. I ended up getting the job finally. So a lot of perseverance, a little bit of luck, and fate, I guess, and then I ended up playing 7 years after that, so a lot of fun.
And I guess your debut was on Monday Night Football, is that correct?
That was actually my third professional game ever. My first game ever was a home game in Atlanta against Detroit. We won 14-0, nothing spectacular. My second game ever was an away game at the Candlestick Park against the 49ers. When Joe Montana was a rookie sitting on the bench, and so was Bill Walsh, was a rookie coach, 1978. And ended up winning the game with a last-second field goal, 20-17. Came back to Atlanta that following week, and that was the first Monday night game in Atlanta in like 7 years or something like that. And we were playing the Rams, which at the time were the perennial NFC, heavyweights. The Dallas Cowboys and the Rams were the heavyweights of the NFC back then, with Pittsburgh and the Oakland Raiders the heavyweights in the AFC. And sure enough, that year in 78, the Super Bowl was Pittsburgh against the Rams, and I think they won 31-19. But anyway, we went into that Monday night game, and it was my third game ever, and I had just won the game the week before against the 49ers, so I'd gotten some publicity locally. But we went into that game, great defense, and came up with a bunch of turnovers and kept stopping Pat Hayden on, you know, third down. And I kept going in to kick field goals because we couldn't get it into the end zone. Ended up kicking 5 field goals, which at the time was a Monday night record that lasted for like 20 years. And more importantly, Howard Cosell put me on the national map. So I never could live down the fact that he kept calling me a ex-bartender at Smokey Joe's at 10. And so for the rest of my career, almost every stadium I would go to, there was always some drunk stumbling down the steps yelling, "Hey, bartender, mix me a drink." So that was a little bit of folklore that from back in those days.
Talk about the USFL. I know you scored the first point in the history of the league. Talk about what made you go there.
Well, what happened was I got into a contract dispute with Atlanta after the 81 season. And they ended up trading me to, or actually cutting me, and the Cleveland Browns picked me up. And I was working television as a sportscaster in the off season at the time, and I didn't want to go to Cleveland, and I was starting to form roots in Atlanta, and, you know, I had some businesses there, and I said, you know what, and the problem is, you know, the NFL controls your rights, so you either go where they send you or you're basically out of luck. So I did the stubborn thing, and I basically said, fine, if I don't go to Cleveland, then, you know, that means I can't play. Well, then I won't play. So I went and worked television full-time. And I did that for a year through 81 and into 82. And then the USFL was formed, and I said, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to get back in the league at the ripe old age of 26. I wasn't ready to retire. I was actually in great shape and doing very well. And so I came out of retirement, or I don't know if you call it retirement, but I basically came back into football through the USFL. That was the opportunity to get back in. And had three of the most fun years I had in my professional career. It was just a blast. We had good crowds. We had I had a great coach who actually used to be an assistant coach for Dick Vermeil for the Philadelphia Eagles, so I knew him from then, Dick Corey. And just a great man, great players coach. And then that's kind of when I got into real estate. I started working in real estate in the off season because the owner of the New Orleans Breakers was a very successful developer in the New Orleans area, a fellow by the name of Joe Cannizzaro. And he gave me an opportunity to start working for him in the off season, which I took. And again, obviously with my Wharton background, that was a big plus. And I really took to real estate, and I've been in real estate ever since. It's been 22 years now. I started working in 83 in the off season. So
those kickers, they always have some interesting personal twist to their lives. So a great interview, Matt. Thanks a lot. 31-7, Penn on top of Bucknell, convincingly at the half. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Swinging, brother. Guess what is going down at the Classic Dealer?
Could it be their prices?
Check out the big brain on you.
I would rather be checking out the Classic Dealer.
I know what for. A wild and crazy deal.
You saw it on Leno. Now sing on it at Classic. The all-new Chevy HHR at a low price at A-OK at Classic Chevrolet. And Classic's legendary Corvette Corner now has in stock the smoking new 505 horsepower Z06 bet. And if you're worrying about credit, forget it. This is where you can get it. Classic Chevy's accepting every single credit app, and we're making sure everybody drives. Plus, we've got a 2005 Malibu LS with no money down for just $189 a month. Classic Chevy's got a huge selection of gas-saving vehicles at money-saving prices as low as $99 a month. Check out all our new and pre-owned wild and crazy deals online at 1-888-CLASSIC.com and get yours today, because we're the October best at Classic Chevrolet on Route 38 in Moorestown.
I am Bud Collins.
And I'm Vinny Maggio.
Vinny and I are missionary athletes through the Saints Prison Ministry, America's premier athletic prison ministry.
Yeah, I play on the Saints soccer team, and Bud plays on one of our five softball teams.
Vinny and I both starred in high school and then played our college ball right here at the College of New Jersey.
That's right, Bud. But what I accomplished in college pales in comparison to the feeling I get playing sports for the league.
I couldn't agree more, Vinny. In fact, my 10 years with the Saints have been the highlight of my athletic career. Playing ball in prisons and sharing my faith with inmates is what I really enjoy.
The Saints Prison Ministry fields traveling teams in basketball, softball, and soccer. Since 1987, their teams have played more than 1,500 games in 275 different prisons in 20 states and 2 countries. If you would like to serve as a missionary athlete with the Saints or to volunteer in some other capacity, contact the Saints at 856-866-9428. Or you can visit them at www.saintsprisonministry.org. The Saints Prison Ministry, reaching inmates for Christ through athletics since 1987.
In the Italian culture, food is considered more than just a meal. It's an expression of style. At Villaggio Icar in Yardville, they've been expressing their style through authentic Italian cuisine for over 6 years.
Hi, this is Giovanni, owner of Villaggio Icar. Since we opened the door in 1998, we are taking an approach to cooking which reinvents Tuscan and Sicilian dishes with an unexpected combination of flavors that celebrates the very best in seasonal and local foods. Visit Villaggio Icar to celebrate a special occasion with your family, a night out with your friends, or a romantic dinner for two surrounded by murals of my own country. See for yourself. Villaggio Icar is not your typical Italian restaurant. It's a celebration of authentic Italian cuisine in a truly spectacular atmosphere.
For the best in authentic Italian cuisine in a truly spectacular atmosphere, visit Villaggio Icar on Yardville Allentown Road in Yardville. Every Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. enjoy live music while you dine. For reservations, call 609-585-7277 or visit them online at VillaggioIcar.com.
quickly on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. Losers in the Ivy League today, Princeton, Columbia, Dartmouth, and Harvard. Winners, Cornell, Brown, and Yale. Yale is 2-0 right now in the league. That means they're in first place all by themselves. Penn can join them, 31-7 Quakers, as we head into the third quarter for the call of the rest of the game. Matt Leon, Hedgemurray, take it away.
Thank you very much, Brian Seltzer. He will be joining us on the sideline later on. Of course, the halftime show sponsored by United Healthcare. Quick look at the first half statistics, sponsored by World Cafe Live. McDermott, 11 of 21, threw a couple of touchdowns. Sam Matthews, the leading rusher, 10 carries for just 20 yards. And then Matt Carey, Dan McDonald, each with three catches for the Quakers. Carey, 62 yards and a score. McDonald, 3 for 49. But the big story here, hence, the Quaker defense has held Bucknell to 9 yards. Period. End of sentence.
What do you say to your team at half when they've been held to 9 yards?
Wow. I don't know.
Now, of course, a lot of that, as you pointed out, was sack yardage, so.
But it is.
Nevertheless.
It is not a fluke by any stretch of the imagination. They have been tenacious, and the Quakers will receive the kickoff. Nick Okoro and Greg Ambrosi standing back at their own 9-yard line to receive this kick from Will Carney. It's a line drive kick. Ambrosi takes it at the 12, straight ahead, 15, towards the middle of the field, 20. Now breaks it outside, 25, 30, 35. Ambrosi up the left sideline, 40, 45. Still on his feet to midfield, and he's finally knocked out of bounds there. So Greg Ambrosi already has a touchdown on a fumble return in the end zone. Returns the kickoff back to the 49-yard line of 10, and the Quakers will have great first half starting, or third quarter starting field position, first and 10 at their own 49.
Well, if you're Bucknell and you tried to regroup at halftime, one of the things you probably said is let's hold them deep, get them three and out, and get our hands on the football. That's not the kind of return you were hoping to have happen.
So much for that.
Yeah.
So first and 10 Quakers at their own 49 to start things off, already leading 31-7. McDermott under center, twin wide receivers to the right, I formation backfield. On first down, McDermott play action. Has plenty of time to throw. Going down the middle of the field for McDonald is incomplete. Dante Ross got a hand in there as McDonald slid down at the 25-yard line to try to make the catch. Ross knocked it away. It's second and 10.
The ball got there. McDonald was there, but so was Dante Ross. And as you said, just got a hand in there to knock it away. That might have tried to force that just a little bit. But he's got so much confidence in his ability that he'll try to make a throw like that.
Second and 10 for the Quakers at their own 49. Matthews the D-back in an offset I formation. Three wide receivers slot right. McDermott under center. Okoro, the far wide receiver, comes in motion right to left. McDermott straight back to throw. Has time. Now, under some pressure, rolling around, buying some time. Has it to the 45. He's going to run. Midfield into Bucknell territory down to the 47-yard line. It'll be a scramble for a gain of 4. And it'll bring up third down and 6.
Again, the pressure got to him pretty early that time. Pat looking down the field. Looked like he had a decent opportunity to see what was happening. And then the pocket sort of broke down, and he sort of started moving to his left. It wasn't a sprint. He was kind of ambling to his left. Okoro had come from right to left in that motion pattern, and broke his pattern, was open. But by then it was too late, and he put it away and tried to run with it.
So third and 6 at the Bucknell 47. McDermott under center. Wide receiver split. Bucknell jump, gets back. McDermott back to throw. Play action. Has time. Now sprinting out to his right. Penalty flag on the play. McDermott loses the football. It is loose back at the 35-yard line of Penn. And Penn falls on it. One of the offensive linemen. It was Sean Estrada who fell on the football back at the 35-yard line. There's a penalty flag. I would imagine a hold from where it was thrown, but let's wait and see.
There was definitely a hold on the pass protection, which started to break down at the top of your picture. And one of those Penn offensive linemen just kind of blatantly reached out and grabbed. And then on the rolling out to the right, when the pocket broke down, McDermott just lost the handle on the football. And then when the play was over, another flag, Matt, came down way on the far side of the field. I have no idea what that was.
There's a hold against the Quakers. And then a penalty for, I have no idea what that sign is, against Bucknell.
I think that something happened on the bench over there. The official right in front of the Bucknell bench threw the flag, as I said, after the play.
And we've been told a sideline warning against Bucknell.
All right, so no yards. They were probably
declined the penalty anyway, it's fourth down.
Yelling about the holder that the official hadn't seen. No, I have no idea what they were yelling about. But.
So the line of scrimmage now back at the Penn 36, and the Quakers will be forced to punt. Melillo in to kick it away to Dante Ross, who's standing at his own 30-yard line. Good snap back to Melillo, and he gets off a good kick. Good high spiral. Ross is going to let it hit over his head at the 10. It's rolling inside the 10 and finally goes into the end zone despite a great effort by Scotty Williams to try to save it. But a 64-yard punt by Melillo. An absolute missile. It will be a touchback, however, and Bucknell will have it first and 10 at their own 20. Look at the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. We gave you the winners and losers. Let's expound a little bit. It was Colgate over Princeton 16-10. It was Fordham losing to Brown, 37-14. Lafayette beating Columbia, 14-7. Yale shuts out Dartmouth, 13-0. Cornell beats Harvard, 27-13. Wow. First and 10, Bucknell at their own 20-yard line. Ordered the freshman and a quarterback here. The first series of the third quarter for Bucknell. Puts DeStefano, the wide man, in motion, and Woodard's going to take it and run up the middle and get absolutely nothing. He gets thrown backwards by a host of Quakers, including Naheem Harris and Jim Malizia. No gain on the play, second and 10. Woodard looks very uncertain sometimes when he wants to do with the football head.
But, you know, there's probably a reason for that because there is nowhere to go when he gets his hands on it. That time, Bucknell tried to spread the field, three wide receivers to the right, one to the left, and Woodard was back there by his lonesome. He took the direct snap and went straight ahead like off guard. And believe me, there was nothing there. He had the right to be tentative on that one.
Second and 10 at their own 20. Dante Ross now in at quarterback. Put the slot man in motion. They hand it off to Stefano, the up man. And he gets hit right at the line and dropped.
Oh, my.
Quakers in once again. Adam Lekarian on that tackle. Naheem Harris once again helping out. It's third and 10.
Brian Fairbanks in on it also, and boy, is that just great defense. They went back to the give to the fullback, coming straight ahead. They'd had a little bit of success with that right at the end of the half. That time, nowhere to go.
And by a little bit of success, you mean a first down.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell when you see that ball carrier's head snap back like that that somebody on defense is in great position and making a great hit.
Penn leading 31-7. Bucknell has it third and 10 at their own 20. Woodard play action, back to throw, fires, it's tipped in the air, and it is intercepted by the Quakers at the 20-yard line. Corey Geddon came down with the football. Corey Geddon comes up with the interception. Woodard's arm was hit as he went to throw. The ball slipped out straight in the air, and Geddon reached up high to bring it in. It's an interception, another turnover, and the Quakers have it first and 10 of the Bucknell 20.
Corey Geddon just looked like he did a good job of blocking out and going up for the rebound there. That's what it was. He went up high in the air with two hands and snagged that rebound. It just happened to be a football on this occasion and came down with it for the interception. So the defense just continues to dominate here.
Another turnover. They've already scored two touchdowns today, and the Quaker offense would like to add six as well, leading 31-7, just under 12 to play, third quarter. McDermott in the gun on first and 10. It's an inside handoff to Matthews, who bounces it out wide, gets a great block along the corner, gets down to the 15-yard line. That'll be a gain of 5. I didn't see who it was, but somebody really cleared the road, Hench, right as he turned the corner and gave him that avenue to get 5 yards.
I didn't see it either. It might have been Chris Mizell, though, the tight end. We were talking before, when you get the seal on that defensive end, if you can tie him up and allow the back to get a little bit of opportunity toward the sideline, it's a dangerous play, and that time it wasn't a touchdown, but it was. He did get to the sideline.
So second down and 5, 10 at the Bucknell, 15, McDermott in the gun. It's an inside handoff, Matthews running left this time. He's to the 15, Matthews to the 10, Matthews to the 5, down to the 3-yard line. Best run of the day for Sam Matthews, a gain of 12, and he just followed a pulling Greg Williams, who plowed the road along the left side. It's a first and goal, 10 at the 3.
He's just getting some great lead blocks, as you said, by the line. That time it was Greg Williams who got out in front. Nice bit of picking his way by Matthews, too.
Ambrosi now the deep back in an I formation. He takes the handoff off the left side, tries to turn the corner. He's in. Touchdown, Quakers. Kyle Ambrosi scampers in from 3 yards out, and it is now a 37-7 football game. Kyle Ambrosi scores his second touchdown of the season.
He had a notion here to maybe go inside with that. Looked like he had a little bit of daylight and then decided to take his chances against the defensive end for Bucknell and see if he could outrun him. which in fact he did. He didn't even have to use the whole field, didn't even have to go one of those dives at the pylons. He went in under his own power. So he broke it for that one snap, gets his touchdown.
Derek Dock in to attempt the extra point out of the hold of Scotty Williams, as it is absolutely pouring now at Franklin Field. Snap good, kick up and good, and with 11:24 to play, third quarter, Penn leading Bucknell 38-7. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Nothing beats the smell, texture, and experience of enjoying a fine cigar. Until now, take the cigar experience to the next level while adding culture and entertainment to your event by inviting Senor Cortez, Twin Shops Cuban Cigar Roller, to your next event or occasion. Sure, you enjoy purchasing the fine cigars, cigarettes, and tobacco products from the oldest cigar shop in South Philly, and yes, they have a state-of-the-art walk-in humidor, but nothing beats the old-world experience of having an expert roll your cigar in person. Join the Twin Shop for hand-rolled and premium cigars on Sunday, October 9th at the Columbus Day Parade at Marconi Plaza on Broad in Oregon. Enjoy the pageantry and excitement of the parade while savoring the aroma, taste, and texture of a hand-rolled cigar by Senor Cortez, or choose your favorite premium brand instead. Remember, to experience the greatness of a real cigar, you've got to visit the Twin Shop at 10th and Tasker in South Philly, or call 215-334-0970 for info on events and more. That's 215-334-0970. Experience the perfect cigar at Twin Shop.
11:24 to play third quarter, Penn leading now 38-7. And an interesting question being bandied about here in the press box bench, as you brought up, is it the first time that the brothers have scored for the Quakers, as the brothers Ambrosi have both found the end zone today?
And even if brothers have done that, have they done one on offense and one on defense? I'll bet that's never happened.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty safe bet. So Greg Ambrosi scores on a fumble return in the first half, Kyle on a 3-yard scamper in the second half.
And you mentioned it, Matt, but it is pouring right now.
About as hard as I've seen it rain in quite some time.
I'm glad I'm not by myself down there on the field.
Absolutely.
With that umbrella that doesn't work very well.
So 38-7, Dock to kick off. Boston Kaufman back deep, and Dock gets off a wobbly kick. It's going to come down to Peter Kaufman at the 10 far side, brings it back towards the middle, 15-20, tripped up and falls at the 23-yard line. On the tackle that time for the Quakers was Britton Ertman, back up defensive back. So the Bison will start first and 10 at their own 23, and life has to be absolutely miserable now if you're a Bucknell player, Hench. You're down 31 points, you've done absolutely nothing on offense, and now you are just getting soaked.
It's going to be a long ride back to Lewisburg, I'll tell you that.
We'll get you the Qdoba scoring summary in just a moment. Right now, Bucknell has it first and 10 at their own 24. Dante Ross at quarterback, under center, a wing to either side. He puts Kenny Davis in motion. It's a handoff. Now it's a fake. Ross still with the football across the 25 out to the 29-yard line. Casey Edgar makes the tackle. That Qdoba scoring summary, three plays, 19 yards off the interception. 3-yard run by Kyle Ambrosi with 11:24 to play in the quarter. That drives the ball 30 seconds. Derek Dock's extra point makes it 38-7. So Penn looking good for their third win of the season. So a lot of football to play, but they have shown no signs of letting up here today. Ross in shotgun this time. This is slot man Davis in motion, running option left. Ross keeps across the 30, out to the 31-yard line. That'll be a gain of 3. We know Bucknell really can't throw the football with any authority, Hench. And I guess when you're down by this much, you just kind of run your offense and get some kids to rep.
Well, as you indicated a couple times, they have not thrown the ball prior to today, and they've thrown it a little bit here today, but in this rain, I don't know, Matt. I think it's almost impossible to have any zip on the football right now. I mean, it is pouring. It is soaked.
Ross will work under center. It's 3rd and 3. Bucknell at their own 31. Wing to either side. It's going to be a handoff. No, Ross keeps it. He's got the first down across the 35 out to the 39-yard line. Ross doing a good job on the fakes here in the third quarter. A lot more disruptive than he was in the first half. And we've got a Quaker down. I believe it's Casey Edgar.
Yeah,
it is Casey Edgar.
Yeah, it is Casey Edgar.
While they check with Casey Edgar, let's see if Brian Stelter has not floated away. Let's check in with him for a quick field report, Brian.
All right, Matt. Well, on the injury front, Brad Martinez is all right. It was just a shin bruise, so he's back into the game. He should be fine. And hence, I'm going to have to stick up for your umbrella. This may be the best friend I have ever had. It's very sturdy. I haven't gotten one at all, really.
If it's working, it's a miracle. Because it's now raining in sheets. I mean, it is really raining in sheets here.
Yeah, we said it was raining as hard as we've seen it rain before. Now it is probably maybe just double.
Casey Edgar's getting up, coming off under his own power. We'll have Brian see maybe if he can get a report on Casey, too.
I made the mistake I'm just driving to the game today when I should have bought my pontoon boat.
You should have. I tell you, if at the end of the third quarter they throw the toast out there, it's going to be soggy and mushy before it even hits the ground.
I don't want to be on cleanup crew for that. It's not going to be pretty. So after that Ross run, it's first and 10 Bucknell at their own 40. Ross remains a quarterback. Wing to either side to Stefano, the fullback. Ross under center. He puts Kenny Davis in motion. And he's going to fake the handoff and keep it. And Ross gets drilled back at the 38-yard line. Scotty Williams having a great game as well.
Well, I tell you, they've just got a great defensive scheme. We talked at the beginning of the show how difficult it is to defend against this option offense. But they have not missed a beat. They've tackled the fullback. They've tackled the quarterback. They've tackled the pitch man. They've tackled that shuffle pass back. And the fullback, who's the faking back on that play, you should have seen his head get snapped back, even though he didn't have the football.
Ross at 2, makes the 2nd and 12 for Bucknell at their own 38. Ross at quarterback. DeStefano, the fullback. One wide receiver split out wide to the right. Kenny Davis in motion, right to left. And they're going to flip it to Coffin on a reverse. Running right side, 40, 45, midfield, 45, 40, 45, 30. Finally knocked out of bounds at the 25-yard line. Easily the best run of the day for Bucknell. Peter Coffin came as one of the wingmen, and it was a reverse handoff, actually a pitch. And he had nothing but open spaces off the right side, takes it all the way down to the 24-yard line of Penn.
Well, they set that up really well. Of course, they've been coming play side every snap of the ball. That time they go with a misdirection. It's dark, the option coming left, and it's that little flip to the wingman going full speed the other way, and had a couple of lead blockers. So that was a well-executed play, and it did catch Penn by surprise.
Ross, the quarterback, has it first and 10 at the Penn 24. He's under center, but Davis in motion fumbles the snap. Ross picks it up and just falls forward for half a yard. So Bucknell continues to have problems with holding on to the football.
Well, you got to figure Rosante Ross is not somebody who's had his hands under center a whole lot in his life. And now you compound it that normally they have him back in the shotgun position where, as I'm calling it today, he's a tailback, but when he puts his hands under center, that's a foreign experience for him. And with the wet football, he's just having all kinds of trouble holding on.
Yeah, it's not just raining. I mean, it is a soaking rain, so even seasoned quarterbacks would have trouble holding on today, let alone a guy that hadn't handled the ball as much like Ross. On second down, Ross hands it off to Kenny Davis, trying to run left. Absolutely nothing happening as about 6 Quakers get in on that tackle, including Corey Geddon having another big game. Geddon's 2 sacks last week helped make him the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week. Every year it seems the Quakers get 2 or 3 guys at least that are honored as so.
Could be there by Adam McCary also.
So 7:24 and counting to play third quarter. Bucknell's got a 3rd and 12. It's a 10-26. Penn leading 38-7. Matt Leon Hedgemurray, happy to be with you here at Franklin Field. Ross remains at quarterback. He's under center. He's got a wing to either side. DeStefano, the fullback, about 4 yards behind him. Kenny Davis in motion. Pump fake. Rolling to the right is Ross, and he tries to hit DeStefano, the fullback, and he throws it over his head, incomplete. And it will bring up 4th down, and I would imagine just go for it here, and you're not going to kick a field goal in this weather.
They're not going to kick a field goal no matter what, but Ross again rolling to his right. He's a lefty. That's the first time we've seen him throw the football. And first of all, it's a hard throw for anybody running right, throwing with your left hand. And given these conditions, and given the fact that he's really not a quarterback, I guess he's lucky he got that thing airborne.
They're going to bring Monty Woodard in, who's taking the rest of the snaps at quarterback today on this 4th down and 12 at the 10-26. Woodard under center, with Kaufman in motion. Woodard rolling out to his right. He's under pressure. He's able to throw the football, and it's incomplete. almost intercepted. I think it actually went through the hands of Adam Franks at the 17-yard line. He was looking for Kenny Davis, but the Quakers had that covered. It was Williams in coverage, and then Franks went for the pick. It's incomplete, and the Quakers will take over first and 10 at their own 25 after the turnover on down.
Well, I tell you, Adam Franks is going to hate himself when he sees that on film, because that did go right through his hands, and it was probably too easy an interception. Of course, it was fourth down, and that probably would have given him worse field position anyway, so maybe he was doing intelligent design or something.
At least that's the story now. So first and 10, McDermott still in there, quarterback on first down. He hands it off to Sam Matthews off left tackle, and that is stopped. Ball comes loose. They're going to, no ruling yet. They're going to say that's a fumble, I think. Ball came loose very late. Quakers were able to recover back at the 21-yard line. I thought Sam was well down. And
progress was certainly stopped. Maybe they... apparently the whistle had not blown. This is a case where you wonder if the coaches are just going to try to get six more minutes out of this first club and get them out of there. Because there's nothing to be gained, certainly offensively, from this point on in terms of working on technique or finesse or, you know, getting any better. The conditions now are just atrocious.
Now, second and 14, 10 back to their own 21. McDermott in shotgun. Takes the snap and hands it off on a delay to Matthews. Running left across the 20 out to the 22-yard line. He'll gain about a yard on that. Brings up third down and long, third and 14 with 5:53, 5:52 to play.
Again, he's got John Schneider and Greg Williams out in front of him on that little sweep action out of the shotgun. Those guys are pretty mobile. They do a good job of coming down the line and turning up the field and finding somebody to block.
So McDermott on third and 14, make it third and 13, we'll work out of the gun. Four wide receivers, a slot to either side. Matthews to the right of McDermott in the backfield. McDermott takes the snap, straight back to throw. He's got time loading up down the middle from McDonald. Incomplete, almost intercepted. Almost intercepted, actually should have been intercepted by David Frisberg, the cornerback. It hit him between the two and the six on his jersey and ricocheted off. The throw behind McDonald, just an incomplete pass, but Bucknell missed his shot to force the turnover there, and the Quakers will punt it away.
McDonald might have actually distracted him a little bit on that, but as he said, I don't know, wet football, lack of concentration, maybe Bucknell just doesn't have his head in the game, because that was certainly interceptable.
So Malillo to punt, Ross standing back at his own 42, Malillo gets off a short punt, it hits at the 42, and it's going to take a Quaker bounce, it's going to be a great kick inside the 35, inside the 30, rolls dead at the 29-yard line, where Brad Martinez downs it. And the Bucknell Bison will take over first and 10 at their own 29-yard line with 5:05 to play in the third quarter. 10 leading Bucknell 38-7. And one thing we haven't talked about is bad field conditions, because this sprint turf has held off pretty good. And the king of the Segway, let's go down for a sprint turf field report to Brian Self. Good, Brian.
Hi, Matt and Hens. Well, the way the sprint turf is designed, it is, because it's artificial and due to its construction, much better than actual natural grass. There's embedded filaments of both sand and rubber. It's very absorptive. What happened was yesterday, sprint turf came in to make sure it was all maintained. It was ready to go and nice and lush for today, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian. It has held up great. On first down for Bucknell, Ross in shotgun, takes the snap, trying to wiggle his way right, and he gets maybe a yard out to the 30-yard line before he is thrown back by the Quaker defense. Andrew Allen in on that stop, and it makes it second down and 9. I don't want to hear any weather people talking about it being in any kind of drought.
I think they were talking about that flooding condition and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, because it was a steady rain yesterday into today, and now you're throwing, really heavy rain on top of that. So Ross in shotgun here on second and 9 at his own 31. Wing to either side. He puts Kaufman in motion. They run the option right. Ross pitches it to Kaufman. He's got it at the 30 to the 33, 34-yard line. That'll be a gain of 4, and it'll bring up third down. And I got to think any time. The one thing we haven't seen a lot of here, Hench, is them actually run the option. They've dumped it to the fullback, or the quarterback has kept it, or kind of a quarterback draw. But that's only about the third or fourth time they have actually run the option wide. And with the rain like this, any kind of a pitch like that, you're really taking a chance.
Yeah, you sure are. Dante Ross, as we said, is left-handed, so that's his natural pitch hand. But anytime you ask somebody to do a pitch at going right with your right hand, it's not your sure hand. That's even more dangerous.
Ross in the gun on third and five from his own 34. Got Kaufman to his left in the backfield. Twin wide receivers to the left. Snap back to Ross. Quarterback draw across the 35 after the 37. He'll gain three, and that'll bring up fourth down and two. Not much happening there, and we've got a Quaker down on the play. And while they tend to him, let's take a break. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
The Polaris Sportsman, the world's toughest ATV, is now even better. At this moment, it's factory authorized clearance at Walt's Outdoor Center in Ringo's. You can buy a 2005 Sportsman with low $69 a month payment. Plus, get up to $500 in rebates and a free double warranty. Walt's Outdoor Center is also giving up $1,200 in additional discounts on select Polaris models. The year's best deals available on in-stock inventory while supplies last at Walt's Outdoor Center, Larison Lane in Ringo's, just off Route 202, minutes from Bucks County, Trenton, and Princeton. Call 908-782-5654 for directions. That's 908-782-5654.
ATVs can be hazardous to with Polaris models with engine sizes over 92 cc are only for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet and be sure to get safety training. Offers on select ATV models. Special financing with approved credit through Polaris Star Card. See Walt's Outdoor Center for details.
Walt's Outdoor Center, Larison Lane and Ringo, just off Route 202, minutes from Bucks County, Trenton, and Princeton. Call 908-782-5654. That's 908-782-5654. Polaris, the way out.
On fourth and two, Bucknell punts and DeMartino shanks it. Out of bounds in midfield, and that is going to turn out, hence, to be about a 14-yard kick.
He's had some pretty bad luck on his last couple of kicks here.
Yeah, well, I think he was the third punter coming in. They've had a lot of kicking problems as far as kids being out, not making the trip. So the kicking game has been an adventure. Patrick Kimmeter was the injured Quaker, by the way, on that third down play, and we'll try to get an update on him. But the Quakers now have the football first and 10 at midfield. Brian Walker is in at quarterback, the sophomore, getting his action in the second game of the season. He played against Duquesne in the opener, went 2 for 5. And on first down, he hands it off to Kyle Ambrosi off right tackle, down to the 49-yard line of Bucknell. It'll be second down and 9. Of course, we got a lot of Brian Walker last year, Hench, after Pat McDermott went down with an injury and played very well the last couple games of the season, leading the Quakers to a win out at Cornell. And Hench got an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position with McDermott and Brian Walker.
Well, it's one of the reasons I think they're allowing McDermott to do a little more with the football than they did a year ago, because should he get banged up, they've got great confidence in Brian Walker.
Second and 9-10 at the Bucknell 49. Walker under center. Ambrosi alone in the backfield. Three wide receivers, slot left. It's going to be a handoff to Ambrosi off right tackle inside midfield down to the 46-yard line. That's a gain of 3, and we'll bring up third down and 6. And the rain continues to fall. 2-12, 2-11 to play third quarter. Penn leading 38-7. I actually thought the rain was supposed to let up around now. I thought into the evening hours it was supposed to stop, but it is intensifying, if anything. I think this is the worst rain I've seen for any of the games I've called, Hank.
Yeah.
It rained pretty hard a couple of years ago up in Dartmouth, but I don't think anything
nothing
is
like
consistent
this.
No. This hard. Third and 5, that's a Bucknell 45. Brian Walker in shotgun and a 3 wide receiver set. He's got Brayden Lepisto in the slot to the left. Walker designed sprint out left side. Walker fires a one-hopper to Nick Okoro, incomplete, and that might be the wet ball there. Walker, that's a tough throw in a pouring rain, rolling to your left, throwing across your body. So it's incomplete, a 3-and-out, and Bucknell will force the punt.
And it's also tough. I wasn't watching on the sideline, Matt, to see whether Brian Walker was actually warming up, you know, to get his arm loose. I didn't see it happening. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, but especially when you're not loose going left thrown across your body with a wet field and a long out throw. So a lot of reasons why that was incomplete.
Anthony Melillo in the punt for the Quakers. Dante Ross standing back at his own 12. High snap to Melillo. He's able to corral and he gets off a good high spiral. Ross rolling over. He's going to let it hit at the 10. Takes the Quaker bounce down to the 7 where it's downed by Brad Martinez. Another kick inside the 20 for Anthony Melillo. He's done a great job this season, and today that's a great kick in these conditions. No question about it.
Terrific kick.
Well, force the Bison to go length of the field again. 10 leading 38-7 here with 1:20 to play in the third quarter. You hate the harsh water, but I just can't get over how much it's raining.
Well, the good news is the wind is not blowing in our direction, or we would be
drenched. It actually feels like I think the wind may have really, really slowed down from where it was earlier.
Yeah, a little hard to tell because the flags are now so drenched. They're
too heavy to blow.
They're not exactly fluttering in the breeze.
So Bucknell will have it first and 10 at their own 8-yard line. Quakers leading 38-7.
I don't know how they possibly keep these footballs dry at this point. I mean, the towels that they're drying with have to be soaked.
Ross will be a quarterback on first and 10 from his own 80s under center. But Davis in motion, fumbles the football. It's loose at the 8-yard line. Who's got it? No signal yet. Quakers are celebrating. Do they have it? They do. The Quakers have the football. Ross fumbled the exchange, and the Quakers fell on it. I believe it might have been Joe Anastasia who came up with the football for Penn, and they will have a first and goal at the 8-yard line. Another turnover for Bucknell. I believe that's the fourth turnover for the Bison today. And when you're outmanned on the road, you cannot turn the ball over four times. So a golden opportunity for the Quaker second unit here to get six. Walker will be under center. Ambrosi, the deep back in an I formation. Lepisto in the slot, comes in motion right to left, now back to the left. On first and goal, the handoff to Ambrosi. Picking and choosing his way off right tackle. He's into the end zone for the touchdown. Kyle Ambrosi, his second touchdown run of the day, his third of the season. It's an 8-yard gallop. And with 1:09 to play in the third quarter, the Penn lead has been extended to 44-7.
Now we got that second offensive line in there. Boy, they don't seem to have much fall off with those guys. That was a great running lane established for Kyle Ambrosi, and he kind of got behind. Couldn't tell you which one of the linemen it was. Led it up into the hall, and kind of probably one of the easiest touchdown runs he's ever had in his career.
I think it's safe to say the Bucknell spirit is pretty much broken.
Oh.
Low snap to Williams. Zach actually started to approach the football before Williams had it down. He stopped, started, and kicked it through anyway. 45-7, Penn lead Bucknell, minute 09, left third quarter. You're listening to Quaker Football on ESPN Radio 920.
New Jersey's a bargain, if you know where to shop. So check out the fall fashion sale at Otto Fine Menswear Outlets. Due to their bargain prices, they cannot advertise brand names of their best-seller suits that are just two for $125. That's right, two for $125. These suits are usually priced at $325 apiece. And right now, get each Italian wool suit for $129.99, regularly $400. No coupons needed. Don't miss the clearance sale at Otto Fine Menswear Outlet in Burlington, New Jersey. Like a special group of suits, just $39.99. Jackets from $5.99 and up. Shirts $9.99 and the same for ties, casual pants, and jeans. Plus, shorts for $5.99 each. A pair of nice dress pants or a linen set for just $19.99. Linen shirts start at just $7.99 and up. Remember, Prado Fine Menswear Outlet in Burlington, New Jersey. Right now, their best seller suits are two for just $125. That's right, two for just $125. Come visit Prado Fine Menswear Clearance Department where you'll save up to 80%. Prado Fine Menswear Outlet located at the Burlington Center Mall, Center Court, lower level. Call 888-GO-PRADO for more info.
Minute or nine to play, third quarter. Kyle Ambrosi, with his second touchdown of the day on the ground. An 8-yard run makes it 45-7-10. And Derek Zock to kick off. Gets off the high end over end kick. Comes down to Peter Kaufman at the 8. Ahead to the 10, 15, 20. Lane down the right sideline, 25-30, 35-40. Kaufman to the 45. Kaufman to midfield where Derek Zock makes his second tackle of the day. Another good open field tackle by Derek Zock. A great return by Kaufman, though, 40 yards. They're going to mark him down at the 10-48, and that's where Bucknell will start this drive first and 10 with just under a minute to play third quarter.
Nicely done by Derek Zocco. You don't want him to be making the tackle.
It is a nice bonus, though, to have a kicker that you know you can depend on.
Yeah.
That was that last line of defense, and that's what's had to happen twice today. The Qdoba Mexican Grill scoring summary for that last Quaker drive. One play, 8 yards off the fumble return, 5 yards, 5 seconds rather, an 8-yard touchdown run by Kyle Ambrosi. So first and 10 for Bucknell at the 10-48. Ross is going to keep it off a play action fake, go off left tackle. He's going to gain a yard maybe down to the 47-yard line, not much more than that. And we talked too much about how the wind seemed to have died down, and as we said that, it's now coming in sideways, right into the press box. And we are absolutely getting hammered right now, folks.
That's
wow. Oh, my goodness. This is just a mess. just an absolute mess right now. And you know, the smartest thing I may have done in my life, Hench, I laminated my call sheet before the game today.
Well, at this point, Matt, to be honest with you, if you miss the call, I'm not sure it's going to make a whole lot of difference, but I'll give you credit for being smart anyway.
Second and nine, Ross, play action, rolling out to his right. He's going to flip it to DeStefano, the fullback, who makes the catch at the 42 before he gets drilled backwards. A couple of Quakers in on that tackle. There'll be a gain of, let's call it five, and it brings up third down and four. Britton Ertman makes the catch, and that's actually going to be the last play of the third quarter. It's 45-7, Penn leading Bucknell, and you're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
This Friday, Saturday, and Monday only, see more new 05 and 06 cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs on sale in 5 minutes than anywhere else in 5 hours.
It's Wellington Car and Truck Country's second annual clearance sale event, New Jersey's largest ever. 20 new car manufacturers on site, over 3,500 vehicles, including over 650 pre-owned vehicles, taken in on trade from recent employee discount programs. And every car, truck, van, and SUV will be tagged with its fall clearance price for fast and easy one-stop shopping. It all begins 9 a.m. Friday, October 7th, at the Flemington and Clinton Car and Truck Country family of dealerships. Goal is to sell 300 vehicles by 9 p.m. Monday, Columbus Day. Find selection and value like nowhere else. Browse the midway with radio station personalities, food, and fun for the family. Then get an on-the-spot trade and appraisal and immediate delivery if you wish. There's even on-the-spot credit approval available. The Flemington and Clinton Car and Truck Country Fall Clearance Head Event this holiday weekend. Head event located next to Dishman Flemington Ford on Routes 202 and 31 or go to Flemington.com.
Fourth quarter about to start here. Monsoon conditions at Franklin Field. It's 45-7, Penn leading Bucknell. The rain's starting to come in sideways now. Bucknell has it third and three at the Penn 41. Ross in shotgun. DeStefano to his left at a three wide receiver set, slot left. Ross designed rollout left side. He's just going to run, try to turn the corner, and he can. He pushed out of bounds at the 40-yard line. He's going to be a yard short of the first down. Joey Brown back up defensive back with a great play for the Quakers as he forced him a yard short, freshman corner. That'll bring up fourth down and one. It looks like Ross had that, no question about it, but Brown closed quickly and did a great job. So 45-7, Quakers well on their way to their third win of the season. Let's get down to Brian Seltzer for what may be the last Flint Fairfield report of the game.
All right, well, quickly, guys, one of the indirect effects of this rain, or said I said direct, is that the coordinator's headphones have gone out, so Penn and their engineering staff has been working on it.
And on third down, Ross keeps out of the shotgun and throws ahead for 3 yards. Go back. Go ahead, Brian.
Larry Woods, Steve Downs, and head coach Al Bagnoli, all without headsets, are trying to get that situation straightened out. Patrick Kiminer, he is done for the day. It is a sprain, so he will not play anymore. Another impact of the rain is that PA coordinator for the Quakers, Dan Stefanik, Coach Lake, the first time in 28 years, he is not wearing his customary checkered pants. And so that's it.
And we're losing Brian, as I'm sure the weather playing havoc with our wireless microphone. So it's first and 10 Bucknell at the Penn 38. Snap back to Ross. He keeps it, trying to turn the corner right side. Penalty flag. Ross run out of bounds at the 36-yard line. Let's see about the flag. I got to believe that's some sort of a hold or a legal block. And the team as Ross tried to turn the corner.
There was a flip in there. It's interesting that 10 coaches and 10 kids on the bench were yelling flip as soon as they saw it. The official, the side judge, threw the flag. And then, as is often the case, two other officials just to get into the act through the flag, too. To think that the same three officials saw the same violation is miraculous. Just miraculous.
So it is a penalty, a clip against Bucknell. That'll push the Bison back. They only gained a couple on that first down carry. Only the Hardy fans remain here, Hench. And I must give credit, there is a good number remaining for the way this rain is falling. Now, they're all under the overhang in the lower bowl, but...
Well, I think they're just waiting the rain out at this point.
This one in no doubt here, 45-7, 10 leading. And after the clip, it'll be first and 25 for Bucknell, all the way back at their own 48-yard line.
Bucknell 48.
Ross remains at quarterback. He's under center with a wing to either side. DeStefano, the fullback. Kenny Davis in motion right to left. It's going to be a pitch to Davis running left side across midfield into Penn territory inside the 45. Kenny Davis down to the 44-yard line. So the junior running back for Bucknell shows a good burst. He gains about 7 yards, makes it second and 18. 14 minutes to play in the game, 10 leading 45-7.
You know, an interesting thing is this game sort of just, the action on the field is not necessarily where the action is. It's interesting is kickers. The Bucknell kickers have spent the last 10 minutes practicing extra points or field goals over there on the far side. And it's pouring rain. I wonder what they're thinking.
Ross under center, wing to either side, and it's going to be a keeper by Dante Ross as he takes the fullback and then just plowed ahead for 4 yards down to the 39-yard line of Penn, close to the original line of scrimmage, and it'll bring up third and 11. Almost all second-teamers in there on defense now for the Quakers. Brian Appleby making that last stop. It's a good chance to get them some reps, although not in the best of conditions here. There's Dante Ross in shotgun, three wide receivers, slot right. He's got DeStefano to his right in the backfield. Ross bobbles the snap. He's just going to run with it straight ahead, back to the line of scrimmage to the 39-yard line, where he's tackled by Andrew Allen. Once again, Ross fumbled that snap, and once he secured it, just figured the best thing for him to do was run straight ahead until he got hit, and that's exactly what he did. Didn't gain anything. It's fourth and 11. Look at some statistics. After three quarters, sponsored by World Cafe Live, Pat McDermott is 11 of 23, 180 yards, throwing a couple of touchdowns, the one pick. Sam Matthews, 14 carries, 34 yards. Terry and McDonald, each with three catches to lead the way for the Quakers. For Bucknell, Hench, their total offense now up to 47 yards. They had nine at the half. DeMartino in the punt on fourth and 10. Greg Ambrosi. Ambrosi back deep to return this punt. DeMartino angles it towards the corner, and he does a great job of coughing corner, kicking that one. He's going to go out of bounds at the 3-yard line. That might be the best thing that Bucknell's done all day.
He kicked the ball out of bounds with great regularity, but not up until now where he wanted it to go out of bounds. That time, as you said, he had the nice spiral down into the corner and trickled it out there right about the, as you said, the 3-yard line. So
we'll get to see what the Quakers' second unit offense can do, backed up against their own goal line. The Quakers quickly come out. They huddle on the sidelines and come right to the line of scrimmage. Penn leading this one 45-7. Walker in at quarterback, his second series. On first down, it is a delay handoff to Kelmkamu Ashankong. Off right tackle across the 5, across the 10, out to the 12-yard line. It's a gain of 9 yards. So we saw Amu Ashankong get a couple of carries in the first half, and now we got the name down.
You do.
So we are ready to roll with Helm.
Amu Ashankong.
Amu Ashankong.
All right.
So Quakers backfield a little depleted. Joe Sandberg not playing today because of a bad knee, and Vaughn Bryant not with the team. So it's basically been Matthews and Ambrosi carrying the water, for lack of a better term in this weather. Amu Ashankong gets some reps as well, and we'll expect to see him here for most of the fourth quarter. And with 11:31 to play in the fourth quarter, Bucknell calls a timeout. We'll take one, too. 45-7 Quakers lead. You're listening to Quakers football on ESPN Radio 920.
Stop the hassle of cleaning your rain gutters forever. Now you can keep your gutters clean without ever having to climb a ladder again. It's with Leaf Slugger, the proven system that automatically stops leaves and debris from clogging your rain gutters. And right now you can save $300 when you call Leaf Slugger for a free in-home estimate. Write down this number, 1-800-408-9494. With Leaf Slugger, you won't ever need to clean your gutters again. You won't have to risk injury climbing up and down your ladder. Leaf Slugger eliminates all that and keeps your gutters clean and functioning year-round. The durable Leaf Slugger system fits securely on your existing gutters, and the patented bracket protects against snow and ice damage. Call Leaf Slugger now for a free in-home estimate. 1-800-408-9494. License numbers on request. You can save time, save your back, and save $300. Call Leaf Slugger now. 1-800-408-9494. That's 1-800-408-9494.
On first and 10 from their own 12, Brian Walker fumbles the snap, picks it up and runs forward for 4 yards. Makes it second and 6, Penn at their own 18. Walker, the backup quarterback, his second series at the helm. He's under center. Offset eye in the backfield. Abu Ashampong is the defect. And he takes the handoff off right tackle across the 15, pushes his way out to the 20, where he'll gain a couple yards. And that will bring up third down and 3. 45-7, Penn leading Bucknell. We've got to start thinking about our Commerce Bank player of the game, and a lot of people to choose from in this one. A lot of people.
I don't know. Are we just glad to give it to the defense?
We can talk about that. I'm sure under some heavy negotiations,
right,
it wouldn't be much problem giving it to an entire unit. But we'll give you that in the post-game show, sponsored by Comcast Sportsnet. Third down and 4. Penn at their own 20. Lapisto in motion right to left. Walker under center. Amu Ashampong is the defect. Delay handoff to him. He comes up the middle. First down and more across the 25. Spins off a tackler after the 30-yard line. Nice run that time. Close enough for the first down for Penn. That will move the 6. And I'm sure the Penn coaching staff, and probably the Bucknell coaching staff at this point, would like nothing more than to just keep that clock running.
And a very soggy Brian Seltzer has just joined us back in the booth.
Doing yeoman's work down there on the field. No question about it. First and 10, Penn at their own 30. It's a handoff to Amu Ashampong. Off right tackle. He bounces it outside. Gets a couple out to the 32-yard line.
Stayed in bounds. Good man.
That's more important than anything else right now.
Good man.
Keeps the clock moving. Amu Ashampong is from Somerset, New Jersey. 6'2", 200-pound freshman. Our first extended look at him this season. Looks pretty good, Hinch.
Yep. A couple of good spin moves there once you get some traffic. And, anything's going to look a little sloppy right now.
Second down and 8 as it starts to rain harder here at Franklin Field. Walker under center, Lapisto in motion. It's a handoff to Amu Ashampong off left tackle. He did a nice job to reverse his field. Gets out to the 33-yard line and gains a yard. He'll bring up third down and 8. While we have a moment, let's pause for station identification. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
The flagship station for Penn Quaker Football and ESPN's College Football Game Day. ESPN Radio 920, Philadelphia's Radio Sports Station. WPHY Trenton.
Third down and 7 for the Quakers at their own 33. Walker under center. I think that's Kyle Ambrosi now in the backfield. He takes the handoff, running left, tries to cut inside, gets up to the 35-yard line, gain of a couple. Now it's getting hard to pick guys out because of the race.
Yeah, normally you got muddy jerseys and that kind of stuff. You can't even use that excuse there on the sprint turf. But.
So fourth down and 5 after Ambrosi gains a couple and the Quakers will have to kick it away. Melillo in. Dante Ross, and that actually I believe is not Dante Ross back to return this kick.
They took him out.
I believe that's Richard Simpson. Good snap back to Malolo, and he gets off a good kick. It is Richard Simpson who's going to let it hit at the 30. Takes a big 10 bounce inside the 20, inside the 18, 17, 16, where it's going to be down right there. So Bucknell will have a first and 10 at their own 16-yard line with 7:18 to play in the game. Penn leading 45-7 over the Bison. This is unbelievable. Not just that it's raining this hard, but the way that the consistency of the rain. And I think you're right, Hens. I think a lot of people that would have left have actually stuck around, just hoping it will let up.
Nowhere to go. I mean, by the time you get to 33rd Street, you're going to be soaked.
So we've got a new quarterback in there for Bucknell. I believe that is Ryan Ahern. Number 11, a sophomore, and it's quarterback. He's under center. He's going to pitch it on the right side to Peter Kaufman, trying to turn the corner. Does get outside the 20 to the 21-yard line, where he's spun out of bounds. That'll be a gain of 5. backups in there now for the Quakers. And I think the Quaker coaching staff, Brian, talked about how their headsets weren't working. I think they just put them all away.
Not a bad idea. Not that they're going to learn anything from the guys up in the booth. The guys up in the booth have the best seat today. They're dry anyway.
Ahern on second down, Keith. Gains a couple across the 23 out to the 24-yard line off of a play-action fake to the fullback. So it'll bring up third down and two. Boy, that band's right on top of us, aren't they?
They're just trying to keep our spirits up here.
Third down and two for Bucknell with 6:11 and counting to play in the game. Line of scrimmage will be the Bucknell 25-yard line. Stefano, the fullback, a wing to either side. Ahern under center. He fumbles the snap. The ball is loose at the 25-yard line. Who's got it? I think Bucknell was able to recover, but it will be fourth down. And boy, they have really struggled with that quarterback exchange. I'm sure it doesn't help that you've got three quarterbacks in there throughout the course of the game, and none of them really with any experience.
Yeah. And you almost feel sorry for them at this point.
So the Quakers will get the football back. DeMartino in the punt. DeMartino averaging 34 yards a boot today. Greg Ambrosi back to return the kick. He's standing at his own 44. Good snap to DeMartino, and he shanks this one out of bounds again. Inside Penn territory, making Bucknell territory. They're still marketing off. It's going to be first and 10-10 at the Bucknell 45 with 5:10 to play in the game. So the Quakers well on their way to their third victory, leading 45-7 here at Franklin Field in an absolute monsoon. This is unbelievable.
I think maybe I'd like to go down on the field to do the post-game interview.
Absolutely. I think we can work that out.
Yeah, it would be a first. I'm not very good at that. I'd be very uncomfortable. But, you know, on a night like tonight, with a victory like we're going to have tonight.
I don't know. You might have to wrestle those rights away from Brian tonight.
I don't want to actually steal his thunder.
On first down, Walker hands it off to Amu Ashampong across the 45 down to the 43-yard line. Second down, let's call it 8. Helm Amu Ashampong doing the yeoman's work on the ground here. Second down and 8, clock continuing to run, 4:39, 4:38. Brian Walker gonna take over quarterback since late in the third quarter. He's under center here with the wide receiver split and I formation backfield. Walker, he fumbles the snap, recovers it, just takes the knee as he falls back down to earth. He'll lose 3 yards and it will bring up 3rd and 12. And this is almost like something you'd see in a movie. Like a real exaggerated bad weather game.
I can't imagine what the game would have been like had it been raining like this from the outset. I just can't imagine.
Or if this was natural grass.
Or, well, it would probably be almost unplayable at this point.
.351, .350 and counting to play in this game. Walker under center, trips wide receivers to the right. Martin Walker's going to throw, and he puts it out on the right side complete, making the catch for the Quakers. Sam Shepard, freshman wide receiver, he takes it down to the 42-yard line. That's going to be a gain of 3. That's Shepard's first collegiate catch. It's going to be short of the first down, though. It's going to be 4th and 7, and it'll bring out the punting unit again. Clock continuing to run, though. That's probably the most important thing.
Well, you know, actually, I think I had it going for it here because what the heck? On the change of possession, the clock's going to stop anyway, I guess.
Richard Simpson back to return this punt for Bucknell, standing at his own 10. Moillo will try to dump another one inside the 20. This is a wobbly kick. Simpson's going to take it, fumbles the football. It's loose at the 17-yard line. I think the Quakers fell on it at the 10. I think the Quakers fell on it. I believe they did. It's 10-foot ball. Recovering the fumble, Michael Marinelli.
Well, you know, if there were 30 seconds left in the game, they'd probably take a knee right here. They're going to have to run the football, and, you know.
Yeah, it's a tell with 2:53 left. I mean, so
they're going to have to run it. Maybe Blue Ashenfong will get a first collegiate touchdown. Although he's not in there.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is there.
Yeah, he is in there. He's a deep guy. It's going to be at the Bucknell 12 where they're going to line it after the fumble recovery. Walker under center. Lepisto in motion right to left. On first and 10, Walker hands it up to Amu Ashenfong. Inside the 10. Keeps the leg pushing down to the 7-yard line. You know what I think it is with the band is that there's so few people here that the sound just resonates.
They're just trying to stay warm.
So second down, let's call it 5 at the 7-yard line. Clock continuing to run. We've got 2:26, 2:25 to play.
Well, how many points does Penn have today on turnovers? I mean,
and it scored twice defensively, directly off turnovers.
Yeah.
Another drive that set them up at first and goal with the 8 off the turnover. And here they were set up at the 12. The second is 6 at the Bucknell 8. Walker under center. Amu Ashenfong the deep back. He takes the handoff right up the middle. He's to the 5. Spins off the tackle down to the 4-yard line. Probably about a yard short of the first down. Minute 50, minute 49. And I mean, you probably just run it twice into the line here. I don't think you worry about a field goal if it's coming to that.
No, they won't do that.
Approaching the 90-second mark remaining in this game. Amu Ashenfong is the deep back. Walker under center. Lepisto split out wide to the right, now comes back to the left. 3rd and 2 from the 4-yard line of Bucknell. Walker hands it off to Amu Ashenfong. Inside the 5, rolling through the goal line, he's in! Touchdown! Helms Amu Ashenfong, his first collegiate touchdown. With a minute 08 to play in the game, it's now 51-7-10.
Well, you like the score there. Some ways you don't like the score either.
I do like saying the name, though.
You know, this game was out of control from really very early on, and those points really don't mean a whole lot in terms of the one-sidedness of this victory.
Braden Lepisto in to attempt the extra point. This will be his first kicking attempt of the season. Of course, a wide receiver. Out of the hole of Dan McDonald. So, and it's a rough snap. McDonald can't corral it. He's rolling out to his left. McDonald just got a lateral into Lepisto, who runs in for 2 points. That looks awful, much like a forward lateral, but it's a 2-point conversion. Lepisto runs it in, so it's 53-7.
Boy, when things are going right, things are going right.
That's two times that the Quakers have been able to get the snap down and score 2-point conversions anyway. So with a minute of 8 left, it's 53-7-10. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more after this. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Stop the hassle of cleaning your rain gutters forever. Now you can keep your gutters clean without ever having to climb a ladder again. It's with Leaf Slugger, the proven system that automatically stops leaves and debris from clogging your rain gutters. And right now you can save $300 when you call Leaf Slugger for a free in-home estimate. Write down this number, 1-800-408-9494. With Leaf Slugger, you won't ever need to clean your gutters again. You won't have to risk injury climbing up and down your ladder. Leaf Slugger eliminates all that and keeps your gutters clean and functioning year-round. The durable Leaf Slugger system fits securely on your existing gutters, and the patented bracket protects against snow and ice damage. Call Leaf Slugger now for a free in-home estimate. 1-800-408-9494. License numbers on request. You can save time, save your back, and save $300. Call Leaf Slugger now. 1-800-408-9494. That's 1-800-408-9494.
Derek Dock kicks off, and it's a ground ball. It's just going to be taken by one of the upmen for Bucknell, who falls on the football at the 32-yard line with a minute 5 remaining in this game. And the Quakers are rolling to victory, 50. 50-
scrimmage, so it doesn't matter whether he throws it overhand or underhand, as long as he's behind the line of scrimmage. What you might have had was somebody illegally downfield, but you know what's interesting is Dan McDonald is now 1 for 1. He'll have 1,000% passing percentage completion for 2 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to go down in the Penn record book somewhere.
Absolutely. So the Quakers get another touchdown. A 2-yard run by Kelvin Famu Asampong. His first collegiate touchdown, and checking the Qdoba scoring summary, 3 plays, 12 yards, minute 45. Off the fumbled exchange, so another touchdown for the Quakers, a 2-point conversion. Lopisto, the pass from McDonald. So Bucknell has the first and 10 at their own 28. It's another fumbled snap.
Boy.
Ryan Ahern couldn't handle it. He's able to fall on it and fall forward. Heck, at this point,
I think Bucknell ought to just take a knee at this point.
52 seconds, 51 seconds, clock continuing to roll down. Seconds, 36 seconds, Ryan Ahern, the quarterback, really had trouble with these exchanges in this heavy, heavy rain. Clock man in motion, and Ahern just hands it off to the fullback, who burrows across the 30 after the 32-yard line. Kevin Mullen on the carry. And that will probably be the last play of the game. And I think none too soon for the Masses here at Franklin Field, who, while they will enjoy the 53-7 victory, I think will be more than happy to get home and out of the rain. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, that'll do it. The Quakers defeat Bucknell 53-7 here at Franklin Field in absolutely torrid rain. 53-7, the final. We'll take a break when we come back. The Comcast SportsNet postgame show. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
You've been listening to Penn Football on ESPN Radio 920. Stay tuned. The Penn Football postgame show is next. Brought to you by Comcast SportsNet. Get your game on.
Playing the name is just part of the fun. Everything made fresh, great food, great fun. We're the family place, something for everyone. And every night there's a party going on.
Hey, football fans, catch all the action at Fezziwigs. They've got NFL Sunday tickets. Watch all the games on any of their 18 televisions. Win great prizes every week. Plus, enjoy butt-kicking, tooth-cracking, ice-cold Bud and Bud Light. 20 ounces for only $3. Take home souvenir Eagles pints with 250 refills. Try their delicious Sunday football specials. Buffalo shrimp, bar pies, Philly pretzels, and their legendary Widowmaker burger. Don't forget about Sunday brunch. All you can eat, just $10.99. Fezziwigs Warehouse. Good times, great food, awesome bar. Located on Route 33 in Hamilton Square next to Stevens Furniture. Fezziwigs Warehouse, 588-8200.
Stories about money, investments, or the economy in general are on the news every day. Our economy is strong, but if gas prices continue to stay high, how long will that last? What about the housing market? And how will the cost of cleanup from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita affect our economy? With so much uncertainty, everyone needs professional guidance. That's why Nassau Broadcasting and the Princeton Business Journal present Investment Fest 2005. Investment Fest 2005 takes place on Saturday, November 19th at the Doral Conference Center in Princeton. Get personal investment advice from the experts. Choose from an all-day roster of financial seminars covering every important aspect of personal investing. Plus, we combine the year's best personal investment event with a free breakfast and free lunchtime sampling from some of the area's finest restaurants. It's the only place where finance meets fine food. Investment Fest is free, but you must register to attend. Go to investmentfest.com and register now. That's investmentfest.com. And join us on November the 19th.
May I have your attention, please? On behalf of the big guy and stingy industries, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to this year's employee appreciation party. Thank you, you're too kind. Since many of you expressed your extreme disappointment with the personalized pocket protectors that we gave everyone last year, I am pleased to announce that this year everyone will receive this personalized metal, not plastic keychain. But it's got a flashlight on it.
Provide your hardworking employees with quality gifts and incentives and let campus clothes be your guide. They can provide jackets, bags, or shirts personalized with your logo. Things they'll actually want and use. Whether your team is on the athletic field or in the corporate field, campus clothes can help you get the look. They can provide athletic uniforms, promotional items, personalized corporate gifts, or sportswear. Quality products at a fair price. Call Campus Clothes today at 888-989-0188. That's 888-989-0188. Campus Clothes, the team outfitter for your team.
Back here at Franklin Field, where the rain continues to pour down, the Quakers have defeated Bucknell 53-7, your final score. Pennant improves to 3-1 on the season. And next week it's all Ivy League action as it starts with Columbia. Comcast Sportsnet post-game show here, the Penn Football post-game show. And that was a pretty dominating effort start to finish, and Shirley, this one was really never in doubt.
Yeah, I mean, we had a decent win against Dartmouth last week where the offense struggled, the defense played well, so you knew they were going to come in here. The only question mark was, could that option offense give them some headaches? And from the get-go, it didn't. I mean, they just were so overmatched that they shut it down almost immediately. And when it became clear that Bucknell wasn't going to be able to move the football, the Quaker defense just beat up on them and created, what, 5-6 turnovers. We don't have the final set. You do right now. But
Three fumbles lost and then the two interceptions, so 5 turnovers. So just a dominating effort by the Quaker defense. And really, the Quakers all around, the only 7 points Bucknell scored were set off an interception on a screen pass where Bucknell had first and goal with the 8. So the domination by the defense was just throughout this game. 53-7, the final score. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have our Commerce Bank Money Player of the Game and a look at some final stats. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
The Haldeman dealerships have partnered with Community Options to raise money for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Haldeman Ford in Hamilton and East Windsor, Haldeman Nissan in Hamilton, and Lawrence Lexus in Lawrenceville are raffling off a brand new 2006 Ford Focus. For each $10 donation, you'll receive a ticket for a chance to win the new 2006 Ford Focus. 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the Red Cross to help those in need. The Haldeman organization and Community Options are determined to distribute 5,000 raffle tickets per $10 donation. This will provide $50,000 to the Red Cross to help the victims of Katrina. The winning ticket for the brand new fuel-efficient 2006 Ford Focus will be drawn around October 31st. To get your raffle tickets, stop by Haldeman Ford on Route 33 in Hamilton or Route 130 in East Windsor, Lawrence Lexus on Business Route 1 North in Lawrenceville, or at Haldeman Nissan on Route 33 in Hamilton. Please do your part to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Enjoy fall family fun at Creeper Farms now through October. Take in the beautiful fall colors and the scenic hayrides to their huge pumpkin patch. Free with the purchase of a pumpkin. There's always so much to do at Creeper Farms. Spend some time getting lost in their corn maze, then bounce in the moonwalk, get your face painted, or visit Creeper's friendly farm animals. While you're there, pick up fresh homegrown produce, festive fall crafts, Indian corn, buns, and much more. Enjoy good food and great snacks weekends and holidays through October from 10 till 5 p.m. At night, Schaefer's Fight Fast Trilogy of Fight will scare the yell out of you. Now in its 10th season, a hair-raising hayride through 200 acres, a casual run for your life in the mass acre maze, and a walk through their nightmare in the carnival of chaos. All for only $20 per body, every Friday through Sunday in October. Opening night is Friday, September 30th from 7 to 10 p.m. Call 908-782-2705 or visit SchaeferFarms.com. That's SchaeferFarms.com.
Back here at Franklin Field where the Quakers have defeated Bucknell 53-7. Time now for our Commerce Bank Money Player of the Game. I think we've got to give it to the entire defense, Hench.
It makes sense to me. I mean, that group as a group just totally dominated Bucknell today. It would be hard to identify an individual player who was more outstanding than the group, but typical group effort, and I think we congratulate all of them.
They forced five turnovers. They held Bucknell to 74 yards total offense. They scored two touchdowns on their own. And they held Dante Ross with 268 yards rushing last week against Marist to 21 carries, 31 yards. He did score the one Bucknell touchdown, but really was not a factor as the Quaker defense, another great effort. They played well all year, but the last 2 weeks they've really been dominating against Bucknell and Dartmouth. Today they held Bucknell to 74 yards on the ground. Last week it was 16 against Dartmouth. And you got to, when you say 74 yards on the ground, it sounds... That makes it work. That's just a very, very impressive performance. 53-7, the final score. We'll be back to take a look at final statistics, and then Hench and I will wrap things up. You're listening to the Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. Quakers win 53-7. You're listening to Quakers Football on ESPN Radio 920.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, Sue.
Wow, look at that. Did you get a new carpet?
No, we just had Chem Dry Express clean them.
Mr. Jenkins.
Hello, Sue. Ooh, your house smells so clean. You didn't get rid of your dog, did you?
No, Sam's still here. We just had Chem Dry Express over to clean the carpets.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Sue. Here's your plate.
Wow, did you get new furniture?
No, we just... Well, yes, it is new.
Let the professionals at Mercer County Chem Dry Express make your old dingy carpet and furniture look like new with their natural carbonated bubble system that is safe for your family and pets. Looking for a new career? Mercer County Chem Dry Express is currently seeking responsible, hardworking individuals to join their team. You'll receive an earning potential of over $50,000 per year, 401k, health benefits, and flexible work hours. No experience necessary with professional training available. Serious candidates should call Mercer County Chem Dry Express at 800-522-2227. Some heavy lifting required.
Vision, the most delicate of the senses to correct. If you want LASIK laser vision correction, be sure it's blade-free. In the past, the important first step of creating a corneal flap was often done with a handheld blade. Well, now LASIK has matured. At Precision Laser Eye Center, there are no blades. Every procedure starts with Intralase, a computer-guided laser, which allows the doctor to create a precise flap of exact dimension. Plus, Intralase reduces dry eye, glare, and halo problems. Next, the Allegretto Wave Laser is used, the only FDA-approved laser proven to reduce or eliminate night vision problems, and it allows for treatment times as brief as 10 seconds. Of course, it makes sense that this leading-edge technology is on the Bucks County campus of Lower Bucks Hospital. The high standards of sterility demanded at Lower Bucks Hospital are the same for Precision Laser Eye Center. Considering LASIK? Click on precisionlasereye.org and choose Blade Free, or call 866-781-2005. A better way to better vision.
Back here at Franklin Field, Comcast Sportsnet postgame show wrapping up. Quakers win 53-7. We gave our Commerce Money Player of the Game to the Quakers defense, and well deserved. I think we have to give an honorary award to Rich Sheffield, the Quakers director of football operations, who after everyone had scurried into the locker room, Rich was the one that had to come back and make sure that all the equipment was off the sideline, all the headsets were in the box, and out there, a lonely soul doing his job. So,
One of the things we probably have to remember is it's probably raining this hard all over the Delaware Valley, so people only have to look out their window to know what the players and the coaches were up against here this afternoon.
Yeah, it was a light, steady rain about the first quarter and a half or so, and then it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. Just really something else, and it continues to pour. So let's quickly go through some final statistics. Sponsored by World Cafe Live, the Quakers win 53-7. They held Bucknell to 5 first downs, 74 yards rushing, 103 yards of total offense, even though Bucknell did win the time of possession battle, 32-20 to 27-40. Quakers were led in rushing by Kelmzamu Ashonkan, 11 carries, 45 yards, a touchdown. Sam Matthews went 14 for 34. Kylie Ambrosi, 5 carries, 18 yards, 2 of them go for touchdowns. McDermott, 11 of 23, 180 yards, 2 scores, a pick. Brian Walker, who got some late duty, 1 for 2, 5 yards. Matt Carey catches 3 balls for 62 and a touchdown. McDonald, 3 for 49, no touchdowns. Cliff Mizell, 2 for 27 and a touchdown on the Bucknell side. Peter Kaufman, 3 carries, 46 yards. He got 39 of them on that one gallop off of the reverse option. Ross, as we mentioned earlier, 21 for 31, a touchdown. Passing, Monty Woodard, who took a lot of snaps at quarterback, started 5 for 5, finished 5 of 10, 2 interceptions, just 24 yards. Dante Ross only threw two passes, went 1 for 2 for 5. Josh DeStefano, the leading receiver for Bucknell, 2 catches for all of 5 yards. So the Quakers improve to 3-1 on the season, and next week, Hench is back to Ivy League, and then it's all Ivy League all the time as they take a visit to Columbia.
Yeah, I think Penn gets a break there by actually going up against Columbia, who has struggled a little bit this season. This was an important game for them, I think, today to get the offense back on track. And one of the things that's going to be, I think, the key factor in the Ivy League is, as we've said before, if they play solid defense, they're going to be in every game. The offense, even today, showed some signs of inconsistency. But against Columbia, frankly, Penn is probably talented enough to win that game as they did at Dartmouth, even if they don't necessarily hit on all cylinders.
That game will be up in New York. Kickoff is set for 1:30. We will take the air on ESPN Radio 920 a half hour beforehand at 1 o'clock with the pregame show sponsored by Pepsi. So final score, 53-7, thanks to Brian Seltzer, who floated along the sidelines for us today. Many thanks to John Floyd keeping us on track back at the ESPN Radio 920 studios. For Hench Murray, my name is Matt Leon. We'll join you next week from New York. Thanks for listening. Quakers win 53-7. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Penn Football on ESPN Radio 920. Today's game has been brought to you by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNH, Comcast Sportsnet, Commerce Bank, America's most convenient bank, the Hilton Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, the Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District, Pepsi, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Qdoba Mexican Grill. What are you going to love at Qdoba? Sprint Surf, United Healthcare, World Cafe Live, where the music cooks and the food rocks, and Yellow Book USA, not the other book. Follow the Quakers all season long on Philadelphia's real sports station, ESPN Radio 920.
On a fumble, so Tennessee, after allowing Georgia to drive the field, comes up with another huge turnover.
Would it be safe at this point if, after voting him fourth after the first week of the year, I permanently remove Shockley from my Heisman list, you think?
I would say so.
I don't think he's going to win the Heisman.
No, I'd say
College Game Day on ESPN Radio brought to you by Pontiac's game-changing performances.